Maserati. That's a whole lot of new money. Sash shit that hiding from 12. Moving the squares in them bills. Serving the raw, say yeah. Beating that China like who's a kente. Whipping it, whipping that fishing for a cake. Drinking no syrup, I'm rolling them hay. Make myself a boss, I'm bossing a plug. Either way you put it, nigga, I'm good. Triple salute, nigga, straight out the hood. Back of soda water, splash and scale. Fork in my right and my pride in my left. Leaning all way over to the side. I whip me a 4-way to a 9. The dirty, the money is homicide. And my recipe can't be televised. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope.
Ain't
move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope.
I'm back in my car out of the garage. I'm trying to get these kids playing basketball. No guarantees.
To still sell dope, but old enough that I knows better. When they singing it's 42 for that white powder.
All right, I gotta get gas, then we're gonna go off and pick up our first passenger.
Who don't want to sell dope forever? That I fish tails, fiberglass, Ferrari leather, in the side of shit that I miss bells. Yeah, look at the kids, yeah. The G's, the jewels, I'm matching the monkey.
Next round,
16 years old, I'm whipping in kitchens, fucking my junkies. Pablo Versace, way before me goes. My dinner plates, no silverware. All you niggas, my e-hole. That's a key, like a free throw. Crack house, I had the peephole.
There goes my external iPhone battery flying under the seat. We're doomed. I got the top open, I got the windows down, like while the weather is still nice and cool out, enjoy it a bit, you know, it'll sound a little windy here, I'll, you know what, I'm not going to have the windows down on the freeway.
A pusher try to put me on the respirator. The old skateboard Pete, that's your favorite. Me and 20 girls doing yoga naked. Frequency high, like a spaceship. She say that shit like an insurance exposed. The Gandalf hat and the weird-ass clothes. That's coming out son and the Buffalo. I know the really with the triggers that sort of banana clippers and packing with the biggest missiles. These niggas is knocking over vehicles. These niggas ain't waiting just to see niggas. These niggas ain't trying to hear these niggas. These niggas like chopping down trees, niggas. These niggas want to squeeze niggas. These niggas is weed and the lead niggas. She niggas. If you got 2 holes, you need to let one go. You need to let one go. All these drones, why y'all smoke dope? Never in the sky. I'm trying to let y'all know. Ain't no standards, I'm a set one though. Big ass bag, but no man stand though. All that war, we need to let that go. That boring business, I'ma get that home.
Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope.
That guy's up on a ladder. Trimming high shrubs. Maybe they're trees. I don't know, man. He's on the other side of a fence. Perhaps he is moving that dope.
Oh, oh my.
How you think about that coupe? With no room. Young nigga cash the house. Pass him in a purse. Pass him in a Zen. Young nigga about to pass up. 12 jump behind him. Got him in the car. Young nigga about to smash up. Me gon' hit it line. Say you got some brakes. You got John Fresh about to buy him out. Quick trip. Round the corner. Dropping 9. Got the tags in the lunch line. Smoking out. Cocaine. Cocaine. Cowboy. Cowboy. Like Mickey Monday. Take over the project. Whip a 9.
Hear the rest of this album. It's a real iPhone syncing error, you know? Like, really. I'm here at the gas station where I'm gonna get gas. And I'm gonna go inside and I'm gonna buy a bunch of drinks. And then we'll get on the road for real. So, you guys hang out here and be cool. Play it cool, man. Don't. No noise. I'm gonna break in here and steal this iPad. What? Moon roof open. Yeah, I know. It's fine. Alright. Gas door. There we go. drink goes here. This drink cycles to the back. That drink drinks. Sending a text message here. I need to get a map up here. Where am I heading? Okay. Foods. Okay. Let's go. The Cuddle Shuttle. That's what we're calling this car now. It's an animal control vehicle here with some kind of big trailer for animal controlling. And it just says on it, The Cuddle Shuttle. Everyone on board the Cuddle Shuttle.
Left turn ahead onto US 101 South.
No shit.
Proceed on the current road.
I don't think I've ever been to the exact spot where our first pickup has taken place. Alright, we spent about $64 on gas back there, and I can drive 370 miles now, which is maybe not enough, but that's fine. We're going to stop. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we'll probably stop like four times on the trip. That's, you know, you got four people, different rates of drink intake. Normally, my drives recently to and from L.A., I've been making three stops. Usually one to just like, one because I need gas at the start of the trip or near the start of the trip. And that's less of a bathroom stop. But oftentimes, I will go to the bathroom if I have to. Sometimes, even if I don't have to, I'll hang out in there for a while, see if there's any money to be made. And then stop around a little over halfway or a little under halfway, depending on this one particular place that we usually like to stop. This guy's trying to merge into me, motherfucker. Which is the Del Taco, which I, the past couple times I've gone to LA or back from, I've not actually stopped and eaten at the Del Taco, but I've gone to that truck stop to get like a Red Bull or something like that. Red Bull. And then on the way back from LA, I've been stopping a little closer to home, to go to the bathroom, like 10 miles away from the house. Just like, oh God, I gotta stop. So it's been about three stops, but I figure, you know, if we load this car up full of people, you know, all hell's gonna break loose. So we'll see. Hoping to keep the iPad out of the sun a little bit, because otherwise it will overheat and shut off the stream. The stream is just running out of my iPad. For those of you who are not regulars here, I've been doing this pretty much 5 days a week to and from the office just for kicks. I'm not sure what to do with it yet. I like the technology. There's something real crazy about it. We have the ability to take calls, so maybe a little later on we will take some phone calls. you know, ask questions about E3's past, present, and future. I don't know. What the fuck? Well, you know, well, four people in here who have been working in and around video games for quite some time by the time this car is full, so... yeah, you know, we've got some perspectives. But I'm picking up my first guest here, and then we are going to drive to the airport where we have to pick up Alex and Danny. Alex has a rental car. He's in town from New York to go to E3. So he had to have a rental car because he was around all week. So he has to return his rental car to the airport, which I think is a bad, you know, that's, you're supposed to get these like one, you can get like a one-way rental car, right? Should have got a one-way rental car that could have been dropped off like in the town that we were just leaving. That would have been more convenient, but I don't know. I bet most rental car companies don't do that. Or sometimes, I don't know what the deal is, but less than ideal, but whatever, it's Saturday, we've got time. And I bought a Cliff Bar that I'm not going to get into just yet. Big ass Rockstar recovery here that I very much want to get into, but that's going to cause the first bathroom stop. I almost wet myself, let's say, couple of months ago, driving down to LA because of one of these very large Rockstar recoveries, and then a sizable truck that was blocking my ability to get over and get off the freeway where there were bathrooms, forcing me to have to wait until the next set of bathrooms, which were like 30 miles away, and I had to go kind of bad at that point, so tacking another 30 miles onto it was pretty uncool. I'm not sure. So I have my phone out here with directions to exactly where I'm going, and then the car navigation is pointed at a different spot that is nearby. So I'm not sure. I got 7 more miles here until I think I have to get off the freeway. We will head into the northern tip of Marin County to collect. Our first passenger. Yeah, this is my third drive to Los Angeles over the past couple of months. Making the drive to that area a little more frequently lately for a variety of reasons. And I actually don't mind the drive. We'll see how it is with other people in the car. I don't know.
US 101 South.
Like, that's the most useless. I don't know. There must. there's some weird road change right here that is not visible when you're taking it, but there must be some just semantic bullshit right here, because, like, all it really said right there was, yeah, just keep going.
Keep left onto US 101 South.
Got it. Just, this is not the exit you want. Like, no, I know, it's, I'm not even close to the exit.
In 2 miles, the exit on the right.
In 2 miles, the exit on the right. All right, Novato. Wait a minute. This is where there's some divergence. The car is saying I should get off here. My phone is saying, nah, man, stay on the freeway for another 3 miles. 2 mile discrepancy, but the phone is the one I updated most recently. Anyway. The meeting place changed. That's all you need to know. And rather than punch that into my car, because I didn't know the address, just the name of the place, I used my phone. Got it.
Next exit on the right,
nah.
And then right turn.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Okay, no, all right. I thought my phone was saying, no, you need to take this exit. Like, oh, shit. You lied to me. This trip will be full of signal outages and, you know, just long stretches where we probably won't be able to broadcast. I mean, I-5 is a barren wasteland of a road and, you know, there's not great cell signal.
Next right and then left turn.
So, it should come back. You know, it'll sit there and try and reconnect repeatedly, I guess, before eventually just failing out, but I'm not sure. We'll keep an eye on it as best we can.
Continue on US
and all that, but yeah, I mean, you know, expect outages. It'll break. It's not terrific. It is terrific technology. It's fucking crazy that this is even possible, but you know, it's not infallible. It's not perfectly solid. Alright, I'm gonna get off the road in about a mile here. Meanwhile, the car navigation is just, like, confused. It's just like, I don't know, man, you missed that exit. Like, why did you even turn me on if you weren't gonna listen to a word I said? Like, this is really uncool.
In 1 mile, the exit on the right.
Like, alright, fine. How about you take this exit instead? I'm like, okay, that is, in fact, the exit I'm gonna take, but then after that, you're gonna give me some bullshit.
Next exit on the right, and then slight left turn.
Slight left. Alright, here we go.
Slight left, and then right turn.
Next, slight left. This looks like a slight left.
In 0.2 miles, right turn onto Ignacio Boulevard. Right turn ahead.
Okay. All right. There's a jack in the box here. There's a man in a. This man looks like an old-timey prospector. Except he is standing in the middle of this island with a backpack, looking for money. I don't know.
Proceed about 2 miles to your destination.
0.2 miles, not 2 miles. Oh, okay, that's because I'm going a different place than the car thinks I'm going. Why was the car trying to get me to take that other exit anyway? That's probably where I wanted to turn, huh? Oh, well. Nope, there we are. person standing here, but it is not.
Yep,
it is. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna just bust a U-turn and double park in front of this market here. And then we'll pop the trunk. So that's a chat room.
Amazing.
If you want to hang on to that while I drive.
You can do that.
Okay. We'll say hello, I guess.
Hey. Hey, hey. That wasn't hello. This is hello. Hello.
Get the air conditioning back on.
Yeah. I haven't seen the... Man, technology.
Yeah.
How long has the chat thing been... Has that been a thing for a while? The chat component of it?
Yeah, that's been up for a bit. It seems like there's only a couple of guys that are just doing audio, like everyone else was trying to do video.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that just always looked like crap.
Right.
So
not much to see.
Yeah.
I'm driving for a while. A more podcast style format.
Right. Just talking to anyone. And then it's like this service even just seems more focused on people like playing music and like DJing or something like that, so it's not even necessarily used mobily like this. Yeah. So,
does the connection hold out through the drive?
It'll drop here and there. You know, it's not
up
perfect.
Up in the hills,
right?
Yeah.
It's actually there are a couple spots in San Francisco where
make
it's,
a legal
it's really
U-turn
bad.
Ahead.
Oh, that's right. It's still trying to direct me to its nation. There we go.
So Vinny just like moved and now
So he drove across country.
Yeah.
With his wife and kid.
Yeah.
And then was there for about a day and is flying
come
back
on back.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's just how the timing worked out.
Yep. Yeah.
I've always wanted to do that cross country drive.
Yeah, me too.
Never done it.
Me
it's
too.
Like a week or something, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty long.
Well, it was a week and he was like driving super fast, so not stopping to see a lot of sights.
Yeah.
I think they made it to Chicago for a little bit and a couple other stops along the way, but yeah, they were pretty bent on just getting there.
Yeah, you probably kind of get over the sightseeing part after about a day or so.
Right.
All
right, yeah.
Let's
it's
just
like okay. Whole thing just like go look at the Grand Canyon, like look in it for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a big
waste
hole.
Of time here.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I can't think of a time I've gone to E3 as like a civilian. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Or is it just like
yeah, so, I mean, you don't really have... I mean,
no. Yeah,
games
yeah.
out, it's not really...
Yep. Just going to go.
Yeah.
Which many people, argue is ill-advised or whatever, but E3 is freaking... Always something there. Something to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This year seems really weird.
I got my press conference.
Oh.
I don't know what to expect other than, what everybody is saying, so...
Right.
It should be interesting. Yeah, because this ought to be the year when it's just like wall to wall games, right? On both.
You would hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be the hope. Fire all salvos.
Right.
But yeah, it's still tough out there for, I guess, for a lot of big studios, big and medium.
Yeah. That's been the thing, is looking at, like, what games are coming out this year.
Yeah.
And what games are getting pushed.
Lots of delays and stuff. I mean, there's always lots of delays. Yeah. But it feels like those delays happen in, like, later or something. I don't know. Maybe not.
For me, it was, like, the Order that got pushed, and then Batman. And, like, those were both things that got pushed during, like, the pre-show week when I was down there. So, it was, like, we were just going from one company to the next. And it was just, like, one after another, people going, like, yeah, this game's out next year.
Yeah. They're okay. Just, like, setting expectations or whatever. Right.
It was, like, they're carefully worded speeches about, like, we want to make sure to give all the time possible to ensure the, all that stuff, so. But yeah, you know, I started looking at, you know, okay, what's left that's coming out this year that's going to be like a $60, like, on disc, you know, kind of quote unquote big game.
Besides, like, Call of Duty, and now they October 21st for Battlefield, right? They
confirmed that? Yeah.
It's my wife's birthday, so I know what to get her now.
Yeah. She loves cops.
Exactly.
And shooting
cops. She's been waiting for...
Yeah.
She's just not into the vehicle portion of Battlefield.
And then the 7th is weirdly stacked with, like, Dragon Age and...
November or October?
No, October.
Oh, okay.
I guess maybe it's, like, the first week of Q4, so maybe it's
Whole
thing of, like...
Yeah.
This is the earliest we can put it out for fiscal reasons or whatever.
Halo was also going to be this year and then is no longer this year, right?
That depends on who you ask. But
okay,
yeah,
I guess they never officially... they never officially announced it. I wasn't sure.
One of those things where as they were telling people about it, there was very much a carefully worded statement. If you go back and, you know, like, once you're pointing out that you never said that, you're obviously trying to... spin a delay.
I mean, everybody wanted their game to come out this fall.
Right,
of course. I'm sure. It's funny, though, that I'm sure part of what makes it easier to delay a game that's coming out in the fall is like, well, everyone else is going to come out in the fall, so it'll be a better opportunity later than everyone else delays to the exact same time.
Yeah.
So like, it's going to be a really busy spring or something.
We were thinking the last Tuesday in March. What do you say?
Yeah. March, I mean, I don't know. The good news, I guess, is that, things are more, they're like, more games at more times during the year.
Right.
It doesn't seem like these massive, like, droughts quite as much as...
But that just seems like that's, you know, when you end up with the smaller team games and downloadable games and stuff like that, like, that stuff just comes out year-round. Like, it doesn't necessarily need
E3.
Or anything like that, so it's...
Yeah, it seems like the E3 doomsayers have, like, started to come out. And maybe they never go away entirely, but, like, oh, do we really need E3?
That's what happened to me this year, is I became that person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Like, I know.
Wow.
It's like, after seeing the pre-show week and watching stuff get delayed and then, like, you know, booking appointments for the show and stuff and just looking at, like, the games I'm personally interested in.
Yeah.
And just going, like, I don't need to go to L.A. for you to show me a Gears of War teaser trailer. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to show 40 seconds of a chainsaw or something. Like, this is what... Who wins here? What's the benefit? You're spending all this money, and for what?
Well, with Nintendo... I mean, it's still a bummer that Nintendo's kind of remains... They still have a massive booth, I guess. They just don't do the...
Right.
The press conference thing anymore.
But they... You know, it's one of those things that everyone wants to be doing, and that's just speaking directly to consumers.
Like, with,
like,
their...
just cutting the press out of the loop, you know?
With their Nintendo, like, Direct thing and all that. Yeah. I wonder how that's gone for them.
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing that they do.
I think it's, you know, it's one of the things that lets them preach directly to the choir, but also all the press still covers it. So it's like they don't really lose anything.
No, that's why it doesn't
still
seem
out.
That different. But I mean, everyone used to complain as to, like, how expensive E3 was, like, with their massive booths and press conferences and all that, and it's like, well, what do you really get out of it?
That's
always been a debate, I guess.
And now with games just getting announced all over the place, and Like, it seems like this year, more than ever, there have been announcements that have just happened before the show.
Yeah. It's surprising because I initially thought that was like, oh, they're just trying to get out of the way of the really big announcements or something, but it's like, actually, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's not clear. It's weird. I mean, something like Far Cry 4 seems like it could have made a pretty big splash at E3, but made a pretty big splash anyway, I guess.
Right. And I wonder if that was one of those things where, they mentioned it, like, the first mention was in their earnings call.
Of Far Cry?
Yeah. So I wonder if it was something where they just, like, they had to something to for that quarter for their earnings call. They couldn't.
It's one of those things that's, like, not super surprising that they're doing another one.
Right.
It's just, like, what it is the is the interesting part.
And then that's the Game Informer cover.
Yeah.
Which,
it's, like, it's a pretty neat-looking, unusual cover design. Yeah, I mean, Far Cry 3 was really good.
Yeah, that was my favorite game that year.
It was really interesting how they, like, combined aspects of 1 and 2, basically, and then just kind of made it more of a game, I guess.
Did you like 2 a lot?
I did not finish 2, so by that token, it was, like, a long game.
Yeah.
I liked everything that 2 was going for. I did like it a lot. I thought it was kind of a very, like, sort of brave game, because it was, like, a game that wasn't even, like, trying to be fun.
Right.
It was just like, we're going to give you malaria and terrible guns.
Every single one of these guns is good for about 4 shots.
Yeah. So, like, experientially or whatever, it was really, really cool. I think it was a fairly common criticism of that game, but, like, the respawning guard checkpoints were, like, fairly frustrating, because you got to a point where you had to just truck across, like, large portions of the map, and it felt weird. So it got weirdly kind of grindy for me in a way that did, like, detract from the parts I really liked about it. I wanted to just keep going through the story and all that. It was one of those games I meant to come back to, and then for whatever reason I never did, but it was, like, really all the presentation stuff I thought was really cool, and how I'm a total sucker for, like, never break from the first person perspective type, where, like, you're driving around holding a map,
you know,
like, wrecking into things, trying to read a map at the same time. I thought that stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
And then 3 was just structurally, as, like, a video game, stuff more to do initially, and was kind of easier to.
Yep.
Well, I mean, their fire stuff was
their
still
fire stuff
insane.
Is still really awesome,
yeah,
but it was like
crazy.
When they said, like, yeah, you know, we had to limit that stuff because it was just breaking the entire game. I was like, oh man, you gotta commit.
I mean, they went pretty far, I thought. Like, I haven't seen crazier fire technology in a game since then.
That wasn't necessarily the only thing that kept me away.
It was
that first thing. It was like, man.
The thing that was the most insane to me about that game was that they freaking shipped a level editor on, like, every platform. Like, every version of that game had a freaking map, like, a map-making utility, which is so, that's just totally mind-boggling to me. Like, no game does that these days. That stuff is, like, really complicated from a development standpoint.
Yeah.
So that was one of the many surprising things in that game.
Yeah, just getting that stuff to fit in memory on a console. Like.
But I like, I like me some first-person malaria. That's cool. Just, like, first-person digging bullets out of your wrist.
That stuff was super gross.
Yeah, Far Cry 3 had that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, the crazy stealth kills.
Yeah. Same time, it's like, so much of Far Cry 3 felt like, maybe lighthearted is the wrong word.
It was a mess,
but I just wish, like, if all they had done is pulled out at the end and said, by the way, you're in the Animus, that's all it would have taken. everything, like, okay, all is forgiven. Like, okay, no, that's why this character is an unlikable fucking asshole, and everyone is a piece of shit, and
You're in the Animus should be the ending of like every Ubisoft game.
Yeah. It's like, by the way, you're in the Animus.
Child of Light, you're in the Animus. Yeah. Smash cut to black. You were.
Turns out my ancestor was Rayman.
Lifts his cloak and it's like Rayman and the Assassins. You play, you may have. I need to play Wolfenstein.
I need to. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, it's, it sounds cool.
Yeah, it was like, I had high hopes because that's from the, it's like the former Riddick guys.
Right.
And I still love that game. So it sounds like they did some of the stuff that they do well still. They just kind of have it's weird that you could have like a story driven Wolfenstein game. It doesn't even have multiplayer, right?
Yeah,
it's
just
single player only. Wolfenstein is like pretty surprising, I think. But sounds like there's some cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I guess like that's another game that like totally is a little weird. You know, there's a lot of inner monologue that the character has that just. I know the first time I saw it just seemed out of place for a game set in the 60s. Like, I could just be making this up, or maybe it didn't make the final game or something. I can't remember now, but. At what point, like, it seemed like he made a not joke.
Oh, really? That's weird.
I could be, it's been a while,
but
it was that sort of thing. It was like, what? That's even in your alternate future Nazi 60s, like, this doesn't make sense.
I saw some video where, like, Jimi Hendrix is a character in the game, and that, I think, like, nailed it for, that, like, sealed it for me. I'm like, okay, I have to play this. That's actually amazing. And it seems to be, I haven't played it, I'm not sure how big of a part he has, but it seems like it's handled really well, where they don't, like, explicitly even necessarily say it's him.
Yeah.
You could just tell. He's like a guitar-playing, anti-establishment kind of dude.
Yeah.
That seems like a cool thing to do in that world.
Yeah. I guess those are the guys that split off, like, when EA was doing Syndicate with them. With Starbreeze.
I think they were already gone by then.
Okay.
Often hear about game studios getting bought before they've even, like, announced anything.
Right.
But I guess ZeniMax at that point was, you know, they're making some pretty big plays for, like, first-person action games between, I think this was quite a bit later than the id acquisition, but it's, I guess, in the same vein.
It seems like they've been trying to carve out some kind of larger identity for a long time.
ZeniMax?
Yeah, or just Bethesda, just the whole
thing. They don't want to just be the Skyrim, whatever, the Skyrim company.
I remember going to an event where they were like, oh, we're showing our, you know, our new publishing lineup. It's like, we're publishing WET.
Rogue Warrior.
Like,
yeah, that was a weird moment for that.
This is not going to get you where you want to go.
I mean, yeah, in fairness, all like their RPG stuff sets such a high standard for whatever other stuff that they do. But yeah, they got like Evil Within also, I guess.
Yeah.
Which has it's got the pedigree, right? It's
I'm kind of not the best judge for that genre, but I did play a couple hours of that game, and it reminded me of like Blue Stinger, or like this kind of like also ran survival horror games that were kind of coming out when Resident Evil was huge.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing about that genre is, like, the smaller developers have kind of taken it over, like, unless you count Resident Evil 6, like, what's the last big, you know, blockbuster, and Dead Space 3 was, like, a big, you know, almost like a genre shift. So now it's all, you know, Amnesia, Outlast, and plus you can look at the top of the Steam charts, that stuff is like all, it's kicking all kinds of ass, but it's like from smaller teams.
Yep.
Even like DayZ and all that is obviously kind of a,
that
is like survival horror in a pretty true sense. It's just not what people grew up with Resident Evil think of. But I feel like, well, I don't know.
I feel like people are going to go to the Evil Within, like, hoping that it is, like, exactly like Resident Evil 4, but modern, and that's not the game it is.
Yeah. I think at the big, like, production level, those games get pulled in a lot of different directions, because it's really hard to be a horror game and also, like, an awesome kick-ass action game.
Right. Because,
like, as soon as you put, like, a Spaz 12 or whatever in the hands of the, you know, once you have, like, an auto shotgun, the game isn't that scary anymore.
Yeah.
You're just, like, killing everything. So, yeah, and got the stuff like Amnesia. It's like, no, you can't fight. Like, turns out that's scarier.
Yeah. That's kind of the interesting thing about that Alien game that Creative Assembly's doing.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that looks cool.
Yeah.
Is that going to be, are they showing that?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
I can't say more about it, but you should play that.
Yeah. No, I have high hopes for that. Creative Assembly is such an interesting team.
Right. Yeah,
like, they've been making these, like, grand strategy games, like, forever. And they're dabbling in other genres has not been super successful traditionally,
right.
But can't. It's nice that they try, I guess.
Was that Viking
game? Yeah, game. Was it just called Viking?
I think it was just called Viking.
Yeah, it had, like, a subtitle.
Asgard.
Yeah, it was, like, badly, yes. That's right. Then they did. There was something else, too, I want to say.
They did a Total War game that was, like, an action game, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was that, like a God of War type of thing.
Spartan Total War?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. This game is not like those.
Yeah. Do you actually play it, or are you some other...
I don't know what they've said publicly yet.
Okay, yeah, never mind. But yeah, it's cool that they're going for...
People have just been gunning into the fuck town.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, it's the fault of the movies to some extent.
But. Sure, yeah.
But yeah, like, referencing the first Alien as opposed to the sequel is, like, pretty... Because Aliens is basically an action movie.
Sure.
The first one was crazy, suspenseful horror movie. Speaking of the Amnesia guys, I want to see more of that Soma game that they're doing.
Yeah.
Those guys know what's up when it comes to that stuff.
And that's you know, that for me is kind of gets back into just like, you know, E3 wouldn't be a good place for that game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
There are a couple of these little, like, yeah. Yeah, it's an awkward place. It's awkward for everybody.
Yeah, if you guys hadn't been in the Sony press conference, you probably wouldn't have been at E3 at all.
Yeah,
right?
that is absolutely true. Yeah, we're not going to go specifically because, yeah, it's like, it's not our, definitely not our style, too big of a show for small games, and we're not going to spend $20 million on a booth or whatever.
Right.
Or even $1 million, for that matter. Yeah, that stuff totally isn't... Yeah, as much as I love E3, it doesn't seem super appropriate for that. And yeah, increasingly, I mean, the part that has bugged me about it is, like you alluded to, like, increasingly, if you can't, like, play the game there, I think that's always a little disappointing. And if, like, the ratio of non-playable games, like, significantly overtakes the playable stuff, it's like, well, what's the point?
I'm sure that, like, the numbers will work out, that there are more playable games than non-playable games, but in terms of, just, like, the playable games you care about...
The high-profile stuff, yeah. That stuff is always... I mean, I get it. I totally know. I've demoed games in that capacity myself, and I know why it's done that way. It's just, like, yeah, it's nice to let people play stuff.
Right.
Though even that E3, I guess, increasingly is, like, not even necessarily... Even the audience of E3, like, I don't know how much of that audience is actually there because they want to play stuff.
Right.
If that makes sense. As opposed to
guys sitting in a back room making deals.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. As opposed to, like, PAX, where
obviously
almost everyone is there just because they want to...
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like we get a lot of people to say, like, oh, man, I really wish I could go to E3, and all that. It's like, someone saying, like, I can get a pass to E3, should I go? And, I always kind of say, like, yeah, but don't expect that you're going to see the biggest stuff
just
walking around the show, because most of it's not.
Yeah, that stuff is all behind closed doors.
Yeah. or a lot of it's, you know, it's some companies do like their theater demo thing, so you can wait in line for hours to watch someone run through a demo that will be online the following day or something. And then, you know, then you watch four people get shuttled off into an area that you peek through and see that they are playing it back there, but you can't get there. Like, that's how Dying Light was last year.
That's another game that got... They delayed that,
I don't know if that was a delay or if they just never announced it.
Maybe not.
Date,
but that's not...
But that's not
that,
this year.
Yeah, that's
February,
next year.
February, I think they... No, it might... It's next year.
I think
year.
It is next year.
But that's, you know, that's how that was last year. It was just like, okay, sit in this theater, watch this thing, and then me and Brad duck off into a side room to play it.
Got to actually try
that sort of thing.
People say, I saw good things said about that game.
It looked nice. Like, I don't like Dead Island very much.
Right.
But this seems like it is just a tighter, better game. The only thing they're losing, I guess, is it ended up being, like, Brad's favorite thing about Dead Island was the analog combat.
Oh, right.
Which was, like, you know, you cock it back yourself. Yeah. And, like, they're cutting that from...
It's much more
which
action,
is just crazy, because they had it in there in Dying Light at one point.
Yeah.
And said, like, we're taking it out.
It is the same guys?
Yeah. It's kind of the true Dead Island sequel because they don't own the Dead Island IP.
I see.
Like it's still Techland.
Like a Dark Souls, Demon Souls type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's like much more, it seems much more action-y, right? It's just like crazy parkour stuff.
Yeah.
Because the first, Dead Island,
It's sort of, I don't know, like it seems like the pace will shift because it's got a day-night cycle. And you are partially infected, and at night you gain abilities.
Oh, cool. It's like a werewolf type of scenario, yeah.
So, like, at night you gain, like, stealth kill abilities, and, like, you know, you can get a radar, you know, see guys through walls type stuff. Like, they showed Mad Max last year, and I bet it's not going to be there this year.
I heard it's, like, I saw someone publicly say that it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Which is a... I don't know. That's one of those I have, like, I love Road Warrior is, like, one of my favorite movies, like, period, one of my favorite things, but it's kind of like I can't get sort of inherently excited by it until I see something for it.
Yeah, I ended up, it was playable by judges.
Yeah.
So I ended up messing with it for a little bit, and I don't know. It just didn't seem to be playing to the strengths of the developer. Which is my way of saying it was not crazy like Just Cause was.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's those guys.
Yeah. You know, and...
So those guys are super crazy talented.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, the whole time I was playing it, I was like, man, they should just make Just Cause 3.
Yeah, no, I mean, the internet would like that very much, I think.
Especially after the Just Cause 2 multiplayer stuff. I wonder if that made them, like, look at their priorities and go like, doing.
I didn't play the multiplayer, was it?
So it's a mod.
Oh, okay.
That someone cobbled together, and it is basically letting thousands of people in that world.
Oh, so that's
time.
Right, which is part of why.
Broken nightmare.
Yeah.
Where you're just like spawning planes and crashing them into each other.
Yeah, no, that, you know. Like the staying power of that game has been totally insane, right?
Yeah.
Like people still, it's kind of like, it has some of that Skyrim quality of like people just seem to keep playing it and talking about it just because this as like the open world sandbox dream.
Yeah.
It is like more fully realized than a lot of games. What was it called? I'm blanking on it. What was the Xbox superhero open world game?
Crackdown.
Yeah, Crackdown.
Yeah.
Like that never came out on PC, but it had kind of the like the fun open world sandbox as like a Sunra of the open world game is like I think a lot of people really appreciate. And Just Cause 2 really did that.
Yeah.
I really liked Red Faction Guerrilla. It was like freaking years ago now, but that was I think that
it's
was
really cool.
It's just fun. Yeah, they really it's weird because that I mean I guess Battlefield still does destruction on, but it's
I
not,
mean not the way that game
yeah
did.
Not
not,
it,
the way, not
it,
all the way that game
right.
did
it's crazy right like no one like you would think that everyone would have started
that there would at least be more games that would do that as a thing, and I feel like even their own sequels like played it down.
Yeah, so that's they don't have, because of the way THQ split up, they don't have the Red Faction IP anymore.
Who does anyone?
I don't know who picked it up.
Does Deep Silver have it? Because they got a...
They don't. They have Saints Row, and they have own Volition, but they don't own Red Faction.
Okay, so that's in some stuck in some limbo. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hanging out with Darksiders in a dive bar.
Yeah. I want to say Crytek picked up Darksiders. They picked up the team. Like Vigil became...
Oh, as like an auction or whatever. Yeah. They're like a... Crytek is like a million games that they just announced it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing Homefront 2.
That was weird. It's an announcement.
Yeah.
Like, what?
There's always this kind of like sideways look, and they go, well, the first one sold a lot, so it's like... The name is pretty good, like...
No, and the premise is...
Like the premise is not bad. Yeah. It's just that that first game was... And now this one is Crisis Without a Suit.
So I guess the Nordic Games.
Nordic Games, right? They ended up getting a lot.
Thank you, chat folks.
Yeah, they got a lot of IP.
Yeah,
the leftover stuff, I think. I just don't know if they plan to actually do anything with it.
Must want to do something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird to, like, I don't know. I'm sure there's certain... there's a tier of IPs in video games that I'm sure are super valuable, but, like, when you get the IP and not necessarily... Like, the team is typically way more valuable than the IP, in my opinion.
Right.
If you just, like, buy the brand, it's like, well, if you can't make an awesome... game with it, what's the use? It's not...
I think the thing with Homefront is that Crytek was already working on that game for THQ.
Yeah, Crytek...
They just bought the IP so they could finish their damn game.
Yeah, Crytek, clearly, they've got the chops to do something like that, clearly.
Yeah.
Though it's interesting that that would be, or who knows if they're working on... I don't know, they've made a lot of Crysis games at this point, I guess.
Right.
Maybe Homefront is probably a bigger deal than Crysis, I guess. I don't know. Crysis just had the weird thing where it was, like, just kind of got, like, one of those, like, start on PC, go to console, try to say, baby, please take me back to PC, but then people are like, whatever, man. I guess Far Cry was like that, too.
Yeah.
Far Cry has done it more successfully, seemingly, if that...
But I just think, the Crysis sequels have just been... kind of boring, you know. It's the PC roots or otherwise, like, it's you know, this just hasn't been, they have not been great games.
I didn't
I don't think the first Crysis is a great game anyway. I think it's like graphically really interesting, but it just never, I kind of felt the same way about the first Far Cry. Like, those games just for whatever reason just couldn't get into them.
They were weird. I really liked Far Cry, but it was like, it was a odd game in how it was like structured, because it had like open world stuff, and it had like super linear corridor crawl type stuff, and all of it was, I think it would probably be really hard to go back to, even in terms of like the feel of of the guns and all that stuff. I'm actually really curious to see Sledgehammer's Call of Duty and see what they do with that.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for those guys, considering some of the stuff that they've made. I mean, they've worked on at least a couple of, like, their name has been on previous Call of Duty games.
It seemed like they kind of came in to finish up Modern Warfare 3 after Infinity Ward did its thing. And now,
who knows though, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like on one hand, it's like, oh, you know, they'll get to put their stamp on a new sub title of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is that enough anymore? Like,
I don't know.
It just seems like so many things have to be the same just in order to keep whatever crowd they do still have interested. They almost feel limited in what they could do.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
But if they keep doing that, it's just going to dwindle. It's like either you bleed out slowly or you just say fuck it and swing for the fences and hope you get everyone back.
Yeah, I mean, or,
you know, I don't know.
They've certainly, you know, Activision has the track record of, like, you know, Guitar Hero and these, and like Tony Hawk,
yeah,
just like burying those right, things.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty is, they've done a much better job, like, sort of objectively, right? Like, the quality-wise, or they've been making way more of those games over a longer period of
yes,
time that have, like, relatively been on the level. Like, they're, you know,
right,
it's easy to crap on them or whatever if you're, like, too cool for it or something, but they have continued to do really, really well
right,
in a way that I think those other franchises just flamed out a lot faster.
I think it's been the last couple of years, though, that you've seen...
It's starting to...
Like you start to see the decline,
yeah,
to some extent. Just, you look at player numbers across platforms for Ghost, it seems like these don't seem...
Was this last... I was curious if, like... It seemed like the sales at least kept going up, but I think maybe this last one that may have not been
They didn't
the
have a lot of press releases about
yeah,
fastest selling
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah,
you know, whatever...
Because that was the difference, right? People would be like, "Oh, another Call of Duty game," and then they're like,
right,
"We made $1 billion in like 8 minutes, or whatever." It's like, "Well,
right,
okay, I guess I can't
just go back to complaining on a message board about the world's most popular video
yeah,
game."
Yeah, yeah.
I
mean, not that that's
right,
the
yeah,
only reason
exactly,
they should do what they do, but they kind of, on some level, I really, really respect it because they kind of make it look easy. I mean, at least the fact that they have that many studios working on that stuff, but they have made it so that, I guess they have, like, several studios all doing, like, 3-year
yeah, it's
dev
a 3-year cycle
cycles
now.
That's cool. I mean, if they're going to do it that way, that's a better than banging them out, you know, a year apart,
right,
for sure. Or with like, a 1-year or 18-month development cycles. Like, even Modern Warfare, the first one, I think was just a 2-year,
right? Yeah,
2-year cycle, which is amazing. But
yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like the fundamental core of those games is still great. You know, like it's
yeah,
great for the same reason. Like people, like it's great for the same reason. I think laser tag is great. You know, it's just like it's a fun competitive
right,
thing.
Right.
Like it's easy to pick up and like the. The core action is sound, you know,
yeah,
and they just rebuild the level progression and perks and all this other stuff from
yeah,
year to year. Just in some years, it just feels like they just did it because they felt they had to.
Yeah, I'm sure
there's no real reason that they needed to do that other than like, well, you know, we need to make people think they're getting something
yeah,
new.
Draw their like sports franchise comparisons and stuff, but it doesn't work because like with Madden or I think there's like a clearer set of expectations for like what an annualized sports game
right,
is.
And
like,
football is always going to be football. Like,
yeah,
the rules change around the edges, but like you're still making a football field.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas like
with anything that's
like
has,
here's
like,
12 new maps, here's, you know, all this other stuff. That was the thing that people used to always say about Tony Hawk, was that they were just, oh, they're just pumping out the same thing. It's like,
yeah,
like yes, but they're taking the same mechanics and applying it to an entirely new world.
Yeah,
like,
well,
that.
And they would, actually, like, one of, you know, some of the sad irony of that stuff is, yeah, there is that, like, compulsion that, well, you're making a new game, so you have to, like, change it more because it's a sequel. It's not, like, a
right,
roster update. And sometimes, yeah, some of those things that were done to, I mean, you're the expert on that stuff, but some of the changes over time to that series were, like, not necessarily for the best.
Definitely.
They're, like, change for change's sake, arguably.
Like,
but,
I could see why they wanted people to be able to get off the board, but...
Yeah,
like,
all that stuff.
In the grand scheme of it, like, that was not the way to go.
I don't know, and I always... There was something so, like, pure about the two-minute run, like, structure also, and when it became more of a crazy adventure game type of thing... It kind of lost me personally.
Yeah.
Just more, and even like more weirdly story driven in general is like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want,
like,
want that out of it.
Here's this thing that's like, it's like a really tame episode of Jackass.
Yeah. I guess it's clear why that would be, because that was like super explicitly popular at the time. Tony Hawk is like, it's a really crazy to look back at that.
Right.
So pretty one of a kind. People talk about like innovation in games or whatever. They rarely kind of give credit to. There was just nothing like that.
Yeah. It was a weird case where like two skateboarding games came out the same year basically. Thrasher Skate and Destroy was Rockstar's.
Rockstar
and Z-Axis did that.
I don't remember that game at all.
Yeah.
Was that any good?
It was interesting.
Yeah.
But it was way way more realistic.
Yeah, more of like authentic.
Yeah, so like you had to hit buttons to land. Sort of the difference is like, you know, the angles were a lot tighter, you know, you couldn't fudge it as much as you could in Tony Hawk. So it was less fun. It was a lot harder to get into. But it was neat in its own right. It was PlayStation 1.
PS1.
And I remember seeing that and Tony Hawk at the same E3 and just going like, well, Thrasher's the game. I mean, that's like way more of a serious-looking skateboarding game. This Tony Hawk thing looks like nonsense.
Yeah,
and then,
Tony Hawk.
And then when they finished cleaning up Tony Hawk and put it out, you're like, oh, wait, no, this... Like, it was a lot like the State of Emergency GTA 3
right next
to each other thing. And going that game, State of Emergency, looks awesome. This other thing,
Yeah, GTA 3 was a mess, that E3 in 2001. That was like, wasn't that like Rockstar's last E3,
I think so.
GTA 3 showed so poorly that they're like, screw this.
They had just like the bus that was fenced off. I remember getting on the bus to go talk to Geronimo about the Warriors.
Right.
And he said, you know about the Warriors. And I said, of course I know about the Warriors. He said, all right, let's sit on this bus for half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love, I like when Rockstar does non-GTA stuff. It is crazy.
Yeah.
Freaking everything from the Warriors to, like, table tennis. I love all that stuff. It's just like...
Yeah. I didn't love the Warriors like as a game, but I love that
they made it.
I love they said like, it's this really old movie. We think it's amazing. I'm like, that's great because I think it's amazing too.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird move.
Yeah.
I still want to see a sequel to Bully.
Yeah, that comes up. I feel like that comes up a lot. Bully was it was awesome as an idea and everything.
Yeah, I went back and played a few hours of it recently, and it's still pretty good, but
it's just I have trouble going back to open world games and stuff. It's like, oh man.
Yeah, just everything from the shooting to just like the controls.
Exactly.
It just comes
mechanically,
so,
it's hard.
Comes such a long way since that.
I mean, they've been talking about, like, or in the Take-Two earnings calls or whatever, they bring up, like, Red Dead and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Said Red Dead is a permanent franchise
for
them.
Yeah, everybody...
And then they also said BioShock was moving to 2K Marin.
Yeah.
What is 2K Marin at this point?
Well, it is something, I think.
Because I thought they cut a bunch of people to go... And then they were going to start the Rod Ferguson thing, but then he bailed to go run Gears again.
No, right. I lost track at around that time, too.
Yeah.
I know at least one designer who is there, and he worked on Dead Space 2. He's a smart and good dude, so there is something going on over there. He also worked on Star Wars 1313 for a while.
Yeah.
Until that happened.
You talked to a lot of the people that were involved in that, and they were all so bummed out.
Oh, yeah. They were, yeah, I think they were super bummed. They seemed pretty into what they were doing and like, the progress that they were making, and seemed cool.
Yeah. I mean,
there was, like, a not well-kept secret, right, that it was going to be basically, like, a Boba Fett type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that people would say no to, like, an awesome Boba Fett game.
Right.
So. Well, we'll see what EA does
with it. I mean, I guess that, like, that's part of the rumor, visceral, right,
that they're going
to... Well, I mean, when Amy Hennig went over, like, it was specifically to go to Visceral to work on a Star Wars game. So there's that and Battlefront.
I thought that, you remember Dino, of course. I don't know how often you run into Dino, a former, for our listeners, former GameSpot colleague of ours. He went to, Dino Ignacio, he went to EA and did, worked on Dead Space, I think is his first game, and did the, he was one of the main guys behind the crazy, amazing, like, holographic UI in that game. He was super talented at GameSpot, so it was, like, a little surprise that he went on to do awesome stuff. But I think he's on Battlefield Hardline.
Yeah.
I assume that he was...
I saw him posting off, like, the trailer on Facebook and saying, here's our game!
Yeah, so I thought he... I would have guessed that he'd be on Star Wars. I thought he was, like, a big Star Wars
fan. I think Star Wars is so pre-production right now that there probably isn't anyone on it.
Yeah, that may be, especially if he's, like, with, like, a UI art focus. They need smart guys like that, like, working on stuff that is further along, probably. So.
And I saw, again, it was, like, just Facebook stuff, but I think Amy Hennig and a couple of other people were, like, just going through archives at Lucas.
Yeah.
Just, like, digging through all the Star Wars stuff, so that thing has to be barely getting off the ground right now. If they're...
I hope it happens.
Yeah.
Which is an awful... Awful thing to say, but I worked briefly on one of the Spielberg things at EA, so... The Amy Hennig stuff, like, personally made me really sad.
Yep.
I think she is truly one of the greats. But she seems really... She seems like she could do great stuff with Star Wars, given a chance. I mean, the tone of Uncharted is, like, not dissimilar from the tone of Star Wars, actually.
Yeah.
In some ways.
You have your kind of Han Solo-ish.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Wait, rental car return. Oh, okay.
Oh, this is... This way. Stuff is in. It's a maze.
Yeah, that's one of those things, like, you know... The Battlefield Hardline happening at Visceral. It's just one of those things that just doesn't seem like a great use of what that studio could be doing. But I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, well, the Star Wars thing is going to take some time to ramp up. We've got some time. So let's do this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems... I thought the trailer was cool. It looked pretty good. It's a weird, it is, like, a weird shift.
Yeah.
Even, like, the name, like, small-scale Battlefield is weird as an idea, but, like, I'm in, like, the small faction of people who's, like, they should make another SWAT 4 or whatever, if anyone remembers SWAT 4, of, like, yell at person button was like an awesome in the wrong lane.
This person is not even going. Yeah, we are also.
Yeah, SWAT 4 and some, and actually, like, we haven't seen hide nor hair of Rainbow Six in a while, so someone may as well do something like that.
This is probably Alex.
Dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Space area.
Hey. Oh, you're not on the car. Hang on. Car Multimedia. Okay, hello. No. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello? Hey. How far off are you guys?
We are at the airport. I'm turning into the car rental customer parking area.
Okay. I will we'll walk over to where the street is where you can pick us up then.
Okay.
All right.
See you soon. Yeah, I mean, smaller battlefields just seems like a weird move, because when they did, there was a set of DLC maps for Battlefield 3 that were, like, close quarters, which was, like, their code word for, we heard you guys like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And no one fell for it. It just seemed like it didn't.
And the vehicles and, like, mass destruction type stuff. Is,
yeah.
That's what it is.
I guess.
Somewhere around here.
Wait. This is supposed to be where these sorts of pickups happen. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure on some level you have probably still have weird feelings about EA and the way it makes games. Or have you let go after all these years?
No, I mean, I... They're, like, the same as before I worked there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, my view of EA was so, in some ways it was so narrow, just because it's just one team at a big company. I saw a crazy thing as a, I saw someone say that Ubisoft has more employees now than EA.
I think
which
that's true.
That was
yeah.
like, man, really? That's crazy. But I can see how that's possible. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a weird time to be a big game company.
Yep.
I don't know that there's an easy path forward for any of them.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They're all.
It's fascinating that there are just so many different approaches to it at this point. I mean, you look at Activision; they basically have three games.
Yeah.
You know, Call of Duty, Skylanders, and Destiny.
Right.
And then EA is way more spread out, and then Ubisoft just seems to. Put out different spins on the same game.
Though it kind of works.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think Ubisoft, they still, you know, for a company that makes games that, you know, like 1,000 people work on or whatever,
right.
they have a lot of kind of a remarkable sense of style to them.
Yep.
I've always been impressed with that.
I just wonder, like, you know, is there some internal document somewhere that says your game must have tower climbing as a
yeah.
as some portion yeah, yeah. of its, like, Watch Dogs, when Watch Dogs had, like, you need to get to the top of these towers. I'm like, man, really?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool, yeah. but...
It is funny how, like, I'm...
It was when Far Cry 3 had it also.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it was a really
yeah,
cool
was really
thing
cool
in that game,
Cry 3.
But,
yeah.
like, I can't like, fault them for
yeah.
having that stuff, because it was fun, but...
Get on a damn hang glider and
right.
hang glide down. That was awesome. Yeah, it was funny. Like, structurally, really similar. I mean, I think that stuff... They just have a lot of institutional knowledge about how to, like, put together an open world type
right.
thing.
Yeah.
So, some of that stuff, it's like... They probably tried, you know, 500 ideas before, like, arriving at that one. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if they don't have any... Get up to the top of the tower. There's a whole bunch of good gameplay reasons for why that stuff
right.
actually kind of works.
Oh god, we're trapped in the car. How do I... There we go.
Some nice Dota talk in the chat for you.
Oh yeah.
I can fill.
Can you translate it into?
I can. Well, they have there's a crazy event going on in Southern California, the summit, where they have a lot of the top teams just kind of playing each other in like a Fight Club, Project Mayhem style environment. They're just like all in a house playing
oh.
LAN matches.
Oh.
Brad is still deep in that game, right?
Yep, yeah. Seems like it.
Impressive.
I don't know if he's playing as much as he would like, yeah. But is definitely occupying a lot of his thoughts at any given moment. Yeah.
He's going to go to the international, right?
Yeah.
He didn't make it last year, no. I remember. Yeah.
Are you going to go this year?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. It was a I'm curious how it's going to be, cuz last year it's a lot bigger.
Right, they moved into a much bigger spot.
Yeah. So. Which is, or I guess like the League of Legends had their insane thing at the Staples Center,
right.
That was
yeah.
probably, that may have been even bigger than what this is going to be, but the spectacle is really, it does, it felt last year like, it had the feeling of like being in on something of like, oh man, this is never going to be the same, this is
right.
just going to
yeah.
become crazy, bigger and bigger, whatever. It's just...
Yeah, I don't know, I ended up watching the final couple of matches on stream. And it was kind of the first Dota I had watched. But I was mostly just impressed with the production. Like, I was kind of just watching it to go, like, what... Like, how do they produce this event?
Yeah.
Like, what do the shots look like? And
yeah, they've gotten better and better, too. They do a lot of really cool stuff. I think the one thing for me that, like, that's... Yeah, there have been a couple of things that even, like, mic the player rooms,
mm-hmm.
which I find the players must find, like, incredibly invasive, because I bet... players are like super foul when
sure.
they play that
yeah.
game
yeah.
and in addition to like whatever strategically is going on, so the letting themselves get mic'd I think is a pretty big step, but it's really fascinating also. But yeah, I think if they could just get a damn slow motion replay thing, that would be huge, because it's the same as the equivalent of like watching, like if you watched a football game or a baseball game on TV and there was no replay, it would just
right.
be a mess.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to follow, and that's basically how it is. Like even if you know the game really well, it could be really hard to follow,
mm-hmm.
Because they're playing at such an insane,
right.
there's so much stuff happening.
It's one of those things, like, you know, I'm watching it like not even really knowing the basic rules.
Yeah.
Beyond, like, okay, there are bases, you need to blow up the other guy's base, you know, like, they did a pretty good job of kind of talking in a way where you could get
yeah.
kind of what why the stuff they were doing mattered, but it's one of those things, like, you watch, they don't do it so much anymore, because I think it has become sort of an institution, but when they first started televising a lot of poker...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they every explain... single show started with, like, here are the rules
yeah.
of poker.
No, and that's why that stuff got huge,
yeah.
right? It's like, well, it was a combination of that, and people could, like, learn the game, but the human drama of
right.
of the poker match, like, yeah, the kind of bluffing game and all that. Yeah, it's crazy how that blew up. Seems like less of a thing now for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
I think it's just one of those things that everyone puts so much money into it. I think it got oversaturated.
Yeah, yeah.
Just too much of it.
That makes sense.
I think they ran out of like personalities. Like it was one of those things where like the personalities you thought were colorful and fun turned out to be total scumbags or something. You're like,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
This guy is like going to jail now.
It's probably in a weird place. You could, like, I don't know, go pro wrestling with it almost
yeah, yeah.
and just, like, manufacture some of the ridiculous personalities.
They kept trying to give people nicknames and stuff like that.
Yeah. Didn't pan
one
out.
One guy with long hair that they just started calling Jesus.
Okay.
You know, just real, just dumb stuff like that.
Speaking of stuff like that, have you played have they let anyone play the EA UFC game?
Yeah.
Is that going to be at this show?
It will be there, but it's out, like, next week. So
oh, it's that...
Yeah,
oh, I didn't
yeah,
realize
it's out
so
really
soon. Okay.
But, yeah, I assume it'll be there. Like, we just got review
yeah.
copies.
It seemed like it could be cool. It was hard to tell though.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's a demo out now.
Oh, okay.
So they're at least, like, letting people get the feel for the controls and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's... I mean, it doesn't play like that MMA game that EA made, and it doesn't play like the THQ UFC
yeah,
games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's similar to both, but they kind of have their own take on how submissions work and stuff like that I'm not sure that I love, but I haven't played enough of it.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce Lee has like a
pre-order. What a weird.
Yeah, that's super weird. I'm surprised that like I didn't like mind it, but I was like, whoa, that's really strange. I mean, they've done, I don't know, I guess it's not, it's in the same vein as them getting like Muhammad Ali and stuff like that. But
I feel like they have like a good leg to stand on with that, where they kind of say like, you know, Bruce Lee was in many ways one of the first mixed martial artists. I'm like, okay, I mean,
It's totally legit, and I'm mostly just surprised that whatever his estate would allow it or something, but who knows.
He looks,
it's like his, like, Game of Death, like, yellow jumpsuit or something, right?
It's just black trunks, like, it's nothing, it's just weird, I don't know, it's weird seeing him next to these representations of real people, because then you realize, like, oh, well, I mean, I guess actually Bruce Lee totally was also a real person.
Yeah.
It's just sort of a,
yeah,
I don't know, it's a trip, like, just... I'm going to call Alex and figure out.
They're waiting somewhere else or something.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, do you know where we are? Okay, that's where I'm parked, is like around that corner. Yeah, that. Okay. Yep, all right. Bye. We should see him in a matter of seconds. He should come around that corner any second now.
How long is he in town for?
He was in for a week.
Okay. And,
just came out the week before the show and then heading down to do the show. And then he's flying back to New York directly from there. There he is.
Yeah. All in black.
Yeah. All right, I'll get the trunk popped here. Just throw that on the seat or something.
Yeah. Do you guys still, do you still stop where you always stopped?
That's been the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start over.
6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could, I mean, we could fit at least a couple in the middle.
Get one more small bag in there in that corner.
Yeah.
Just love this corner here.
I can, that one, I'll take the hit on putting something on my lap.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to ride
there's
up.
Like the middle seat there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours? Same.
That one.
Go to the light, turn right, and then it's, you'll see the signs for it. No problem.
Looks like it might be squishier.
Yeah, this is funny on my back.
That might be cramming that space.
If it doesn't, this will. So.
Yeah.
It's a whole process.
No.
That's all that matters. You know what, if that doesn't, yeah. I think this is probably going to fit in there a little easier, so.
All right.
Either way,
now I regret this decision.
I can move up.
Just a tad.
How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
Sweet. This one. Fucking trip with you guys.
Is a nightmare. All right, so we he's got this on top of him. We can put this right.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. What's
that?
He's rolling that on top of himself. So if you just want to put this right here,
you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not
really that big.
This is.
Here we go.
All right.
Got it.
You know, if we crash, I'm going to be the one that survives.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to get the address to where we're going punched in here.
It's more comfortable than it is.
And move up
you before
you
open.
Yeah, you got enough room?
Yeah, that's great.
Right.
Last year I didn't do this. Last year my girlfriend and I came out like the week before E3 and just made my life a little bit. But she didn't get it.
Is that listening?
I try not to. Yeah. I do have a bunch of friends out there, but I can see them usually during this week.
Yeah.
If I need to, so.
Quick. Sounds good.
No.
All right. Everyone strapped in?
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Let's go to E3.
Okay. Button, I just push it, and it just...
Light, yeah.
Wait,
I was lamenting the other day that I bought my car, like, maybe 2 or 3 years before cars got cool.
Next
like, the technology in cars got rad.
MP3 players and whatever.
Like, I didn't have any of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I still feel like it's going to be another like year or two before they become more usable by humans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like some of this interface stuff is still just a nightmare.
Crazy. It's like not touchscreen, right?
It is.
Oh, okay.
But not great touchscreen.
Yeah.
It's like the Wii U touchscreen.
Yeah, kinda, yeah.
Ryan Mack straight up watches like movies when he's driving.
Yeah, he's been on the forefront of destructive technology, I think, for a good long time. From mini discs.
Oh, nice.
That would often have like five copies of the same song. Like, no, this one, I don't know which one is the one that doesn't have skips and is all funky, so just put them all on here. That's infuriating.
Mini disc.
Yeah.
I knew like three people. The thing about mini disc is like you were way into it.
A quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
If you were, I guess that's how that stuff is. There's, it doesn't run hot or cold, or it doesn't.
Right. Like if you're gonna embrace some new weird technology.
Yeah, you're way into.
Glenn was really into mini discs for a while there.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I think me and Ryan McDonald got into it. Is he bought it first and then. We were like, yeah, we probably should. Next left, all right.
And then right turn.
And there was just, you know, MP3s were huge, like, the next year or something. So it was just sort of, wait, mine?
I got one of those mini discs that was trying to embrace the MP3 thing.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
Digital, yeah. Well, it's a belief. At least there you could do the ID tags on your computer. Like an MG box or whatever. Instead of having to manually name everything on the player.
Right. God, yes. I remember naming shit on the player. I was like, this is terrible. Everything about this sucks.
In 0.2 miles, right turn.
So how was the process for returning the rental car? Was it smooth?
Very smooth. Not even a process. Just dropped the car, and then we went and sat down, and I got Pop-Tarts out of a vending machine.
Next right, and then keep right.
Speaking of technology.
Yeah.
But they were cold, right?
Yeah, they were cold.
Okay.
Yes.
You know about the Itzish vending machine on the fourth floor?
Yeah.
Keep right and then keep right.
Those are that's businessman's ice cream. I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
South. Go to the fourth floor.
Something working on man's ice cream.
Keep right onto US 101 South.
Got it.
Proceed on US 101 South.
All right.
This is eventually going to take you to a bridge that will take you to the 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for overestimating my trunk space.
No, it's not your fault that I brought like a ridiculous amount of
spread.
I really appreciate you.
Yes, Dan's
allowed
me
to come down as well. No, I'm just too. Yeah, whenever Dan wants help, I always say yes, but I think of it.
Yeah.
So,
end up carrying road cases and all sorts of other stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have like our MP4 encoder and some other stuff with me. So how many E3s is this for you, Danny? Is this like
three?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still magical for you guys?
Magical is maybe overstating it slightly.
Necromantic.
Yeah, exactly.
Depends on the school of magic. I don't even have to go.
Yeah.
I'm going because I want to go.
Is there a transistor booth?
No, there ain't nothing.
No offense, but it was like when games are out.
No, yeah, no, I have no business being there. This is my. I hope not, because no one's gonna be staffing. This is like attempting to reconnect with humanity in some small, pathetic way. E3 may not be the right.
Nothing says connecting with humanity.
Yes,
quite like
the human experience of the the Electronic Entertainment Expo. E3 Expo. I don't know that I'm always around there one way or another. It's just been working, so it's nice. It's just a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time, and so on. Because yeah, I used to work down in LA and stuff for a while, and
right,
so it's an excuse to see some of those guys.
Is that the main impetus for going down?
No, it's just to be an E3. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much there is to see.
Yeah.
I guess this is the 19th one, right?
It's something like that, 1995.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How many have you been to now?
All of them.
Yeah. All of them, yeah.
I think...
Here's the It's Factory, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow. It's smaller than I imagine.
1928.
I guess that would make one close to 100.
Yeah. To be fair, that one thing is pretty good, but still.
Yes. Different flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's more than two.
Well, no, they have like two buildings there, so one makes one flavor and the other makes the other.
Well, there's vanilla and there's mint, and isn't there...
There's a chocolate one, I think,
yeah.
Or no, wait, there's like a coffee one that I think is like pretty good.
That's the businessman's ice cream right there.
Oh, yeah. Probably right.
First thing in the morning, I kind of work my way.
Yeah. Cigarette and a coffee incident.
Oh, just goddamn hypertension.
Just pissed off at the Muni bus stop. Yeah, it's been a lot of E3s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first one was like... The first one felt like... this weird freeing thing because it was video games getting out from under CES.
Yeah, unshackled from CES.
Yeah, so it was like this wild thing of... Like, fuck, there are just fucking games here.
Yeah.
There are no car stereos. There's no, like, busted-ass cell phone displays. Just, like, garbage disposals. Like, it's just games.
Was that phrase, like, being thrown around? Why didn't it just go, like, the Game Expo? Like, Electronic Entertainment?
I think it's, like, still the game industry trying to kind of...
Yeah.
Elevate its own image, Electronic Entertainment, you know.
Also, it was put together by GamePro, and it's not like they were great at naming stuff, so... Or it was IDG originally.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, same company behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was when, I guess, the PlayStation was coming out in Japan that fall or something, so you can see, like, Tekken there...
Well, it's like, Sony didn't even have an area, or a large area. Meanwhile, it was already out in Japan.
Right.
So, there was, like, a controller booth that had a copy of Toshinden.
Right, like Mad Cats or something.
Yeah, everyone just sat there and played Toshinden.
Right.
And it was like, that was the moment when you knew Sega was fucked. Because, like, Sega had a huge booth full of games, but, like, anyone that you knew that was, like, very serious about video games... That knew about it was all. They were all huddled around a PlayStation.
The one PlayStation.
Yeah.
Was that the year that they did the releasing the Saturn the next day thing?
I think that was 96. I think that was the following year. They're like, the Saturn is out. Everyone's like, what? What? Okay.
Well,
they like stealth.
If E3 95 was the first E3. Did the Saturn come out before the PlayStation here, or was it after?
It
was after? Okay. All right. Then, yeah, I guess it would have been 96.
Yeah, and they had a press conference, and they just said, like, it was out. Like, you could go to Toys R Us and get a Saturn, and everyone's like, what? Okay. So it was, that was weird. And everyone bought, like, Panzer Dragoon and finished it that day.
Yep. Yeah, I remember getting back from E3, and then, like, the next day going and buying a Saturn.
Yeah.
And then playing Clockwork Knight and going, like, I have made it. Perhaps some sort of mistake.
Oh, man.
Street Fighter the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. Watch what you say about Street Fighter.
I do like Street Fighter the movie.
Yeah, god damn it.
Well, also, the console version was weird.
It was totally different.
They made it just a regular Street Fighter game instead of all the weird stuff that was in the arcade version.
15 miles ahead on the route. Slow traffic. 7/10 of a mile long.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so was it
like that's Cammy. Combat?
Yeah, it was digitized,
But the crazy thing, and the home version, it was the same thing with the home version, is like digitized characters, but it played like Street Fighter instead of like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Sort of like Street Fighter, anyway.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. It was really...
Yeah. Grant Bush.
Weird. Who's that?
It's Balrog.
Oh.
He's the guy that was in Die Hard.
Yeah. The Zangief guy. Whatever his name was.
Oh, which years were in Atlanta?
That was like late 90s or something? 90...
Was that like 98,
99?
No, yeah. it wasn't because... I mean, I started going when I was like 16, yeah. So that would have been like 97, 98.
Yeah, maybe it was, I mean, early on.
Trent Ward was still with the company at that point, yeah. So it had to have been.
So 97, 97 98, 98 makes, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. It was only 2 years, right? It was like a 2 year.
Yeah.
Was I think 98 was my first one, so 97 probably was Atlanta.
CA 92 is on the right, and then keep left.
Yeah, onto it's pretty much across the country.
CA 92 East.
Yeah, that is the American South.
Humid and real crazy hot. Thunderstorms and whatever in the middle of the day.
I remember really liking it for like party purposes and stuff because everything was really centrally located, and. You know, like at night, everyone could just be outside because it was right. So damn hot.
Yeah, Georgia in the summer is not a great place to have anything.
Yeah. But it was a nice thing about
keep left on
working with Trent.
CA 92
was he knew the area. Yeah. He was just like, all right, there's all these parties. We're going to sit at this bar east. Here that is centrally located between all these keep parties, and people will just come to us. So I'm like, all right, Trent, whatever you say, man. East. Let's just sit here and drink.
Proceed on CA 92 East.
I saw him like not super long ago.
Yeah.
He's living where was
Hawaii
he at?
Now.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's some kind of. I think he's involved in some kind of education thing now. But he was.
That might be.
He was at Blue Planet, the Tetris company.
Yeah, he did
for a
that.
While.
I want to say he did Ubisoft stuff as well.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now living in Hawaii doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah. Did you ever work for Trent, report to Trent, or were you always just reporting to Ron?
Yeah, yeah. That was back when it was
yeah, I guess that was the split,
was split,
right?
Yeah.
They moved everything around so many different times, kind of before Joe Fielder got there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all started
yeah.
reporting to him.
Yeah. I saw Joe super recently. He was in town just recently, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just announced
they're doing
the
thing.
The game. A lot of ex-irrational dudes off doing their own thing now, understandably.
Bioshock's gone to Marin again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows what that means?
Well, right, yeah.
Is that, yeah, was that studio, like, a lot of people left after, or was it closed?
They, for sure, a lot of people, yeah, I mean, they,
So after that the Bureau game came out.
Yeah.
I think they kind of released some people after that got done.
A lot of people, there was quite a bit of turnover, I think, even along the way, because, yeah, some of those guys. Like, the guys who did Gone Home, although Steve, who's the designer on it, went to Irrational and then went and did that with former 2K Marin guys. And then there's a game called The Magic Circle that they just started talking. There's talk about it in the last couple of days that's also ex-2K Marin folks.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who did Eldritch, if you're familiar with that game,
right.
he's ex-2K Marin. So, yeah, a lot of talented folks.
I feel like someone told me where Morgan Gray ended up, but I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was on. He was like the.
He was like the face of the Bureau there right at the end.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was ready for that game to be on shelves. I was like,
He came from Capcom, right?
Yeah, he was at Capcom where he was on Dark Void.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that the same, that's Airtight.
Airtight,
that game.
They
just
did
that murder. Soul Suspect.
And, Quantum Conundrum.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
People are saying that they cannot hear Danny and I in the back. If you want to, like, I guess maybe the center area.
Is this the audio source?
Maybe, yeah.
I had no idea we were live.
Oh, yeah.
I could have been talking mess about...
Yeah.
Lots of people.
So, hopefully that's better.
Yeah.
We can also just try and talk a little louder.
Yeah.
I can scream. Wait, when did you guys start broadcasting?
About 10 a.m.
As soon as Jeff got in the car. 9 miles.
It's like, keep your voice fresh for 5 days of talking.
Right, yeah.
Live show. Yeah.
You're being hailed as a hero now, Alex.
That
seems to have worked.
The man of the people.
That murdered game seems really interesting. There's like a stealth game mechanic to it that seems super out of place and unnecessary, but the adventure game aspect of it at least looked intriguing.
Yeah.
It makes me think of that, I don't know that it has anything at all in common, but it makes me think of that old-ass GameCube game,
right.
Geist.
Yep.
Which was, like, a cool, concept is really cool.
That game was much more about, like, possession, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
But Murdered is, too. I mean, you are possessing people to look through their eyes and do, like, but it's less about direct control.
Yeah. Or I guess it's more...
it's more about ghost cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can possess a cat.
Ooh,
yeah.
And walk around as the cat.
Okay, that's the best game ever made then.
But Ghost Trick.
Yeah, Ghost Trick was that solve your own murder by possessing stuff.
That game was rad.
Ghost Trick was awesome.
Yeah.
Like some of the best animation like ever.
And funny. It was actually kind of funny.
It was. Yeah. It was. It's like written by the Phoenix Wright guy, so it's like it shows.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That is a game I actually played from start to finish on my iPhone. Yeah.
That version was good, as far as I could tell.
It worked.
Yeah, I mean, it was built for touch screens anyway, so you know, it seems fun. Capcom, though, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that company is just so lost its way.
I would argue that it lost its way a long time ago, and it had just enough people there keeping it together for a while.
I mean, Moss seems to be keeping things going.
Yeah.
I mean, all those, it seems like every, you know, the kind of, the Japanese old guard, it's tough times all around, right?
Yeah.
Konami and so on, like.
What are Capcom even showing?
Dead Rising 3.
They have a thing that looks like Dragon's Dogma, but isn't, right?
So that's not on their list for E3, or at least the stuff they put out didn't have Deep Down on it.
Yeah, that's the one.
You know, like, they sent out a press release that was like, we're showing Ultra Street Fighter 4, even though that came out last week. You know, so it's like, it seems like it's that kind of show for them.
Right.
But, like, it was that kind of show for them last year, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, at least last year they had, like, say what you will about the quality of the game, but at least Lost Planet 3 was, like, a new thing. You were like, well, what is this?
Yeah.
Are people craving Dead Rising 3 on PC? I feel like... The only reason people were excited about that game was because it was associated with a new console.
I mean, it was a good game.
It was good,
It seems like that could do well on PC, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. There seems like there's a weird push. Well, I wonder if Microsoft is involved in the PC version of that game, because they published it on Xbox.
Yeah.
And then there's been this weird push of PC stuff from Microsoft lately that seems... really weird to me.
Like, what else?
Yeah.
Like, Fable is coming.
Oh.
That Rise of Nations stuff as well.
Yeah, Rise of Nations is coming to Steam. They finally issued the PC drivers for Xbox One controllers, which, you know, whatever, but...
That's cool. 24 hours after you guys sit on the podcast.
Right. And then, like, Phil Spencer's been out there saying, like, no, we totally care about the PC, so... Yeah.
Should kind of. It's Microsoft, you know?
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
In theory.
But it almost seems like, shouldn't they be trying to get more Xbox Ones out there?
Right.
And devoting all the resources to that? Or, I don't know, maybe they just... Maybe at some point, as long as people care about Windows as an OS and care about Xbox as a platform and care about buying their games, then nothing else really matters. But, I don't know.
That's the exciting thing about all this executive shakeup stuff is, like, hopefully that whole unified platform nonsense with Metro and all that will, like, fade away. I don't know, like, I feel like Windows Phone and Microsoft and the Xbox have been at the brunt of that design philosophy, maybe more so than Windows even. I'd like to, you know, especially with Kinect getting pulled out of the box now, I'd like to see them shake up that interface a bit.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that interface isn't great without, I mean, it seems totally usable with Kinect, but without it, I'm always like, wait, how do I get to settings? Because everything's always moving around. So their whole idea of like, well, if you use it a lot, just pin it. Like, that's, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to solve the UI problems for you. Like, I shouldn't have to.
Well, Phil Harrison got the job not super long ago, right? It's only been a couple of months.
Yeah, it's like 3.
So, yeah. Well, I guess. So, yeah, they must still be transitioning, I guess. But that's why I'm curious to see how what their press conference is like.
Yeah. Well, the Microsoft stuff is especially interesting because they announced just about everything else that would be not game related. Like, they had the big push of like, here are the apps coming to the platform.
Right.
And the no Kinect thing.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, they got that out of the way before.
Which I guess they technically did that last year, too. I just don't remember it being very successful last year.
Yeah.
Kind of remember leaving that Microsoft press conference going like, I don't know. But maybe that's just because some of those demos were, like, kind of embarrassing. Like, the Killer Instinct stuff.
Yeah. That was a bad demo.
Was on that stage that the Battlefield thing happened as well?
Yeah, the Battlefield thing.
Yeah, right.
California 92 East is on the left.
The one that made me the most sad was they roll like the Crimson Dragon. This is before Crimson Dragon was out.
Yep,
but it was like, played the whole demo, whatever, video for it without sound. And like, oh god, there is someone who worked on that game who really wants to kill themselves right now.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, Crimson Dragon is not very good.
Yeah, so. That made me really sad. Yeah. I never ended up playing it, but that was the game I was like most excited for that.
Just continue on
because of the pedigree.
92 East, and then prepare to exit.
Weird free to play stuff in your Panzer Dragoon spiritual successors. I don't know.
Yeah, that. 5-10 minutes of World of Tanks.
That
went on for so long. Or at least it felt so
that's
long.
That's right, yeah.
Victor.
That guy was kind of awesome.
He's great. Yeah. He's such a character.
That game is, like, insanely huge. It's funny, because, Obsidian, like, hot on the heels of, like, South Park, The Stick of Truth, is making a game that looks just like World of Tanks. It's just bizarre. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird thing. There was, like, I remember it was around GDC getting, like, a meeting request from this company I'd never heard of that was, like, a big free-to-play publisher, or not, maybe not a big free-to-play publisher. It was like, come see the latest game from Obsidian. I'm like, ah, shit. Like, man.
Proceed about 2 miles to A Street.
Didn't need to be this way, did it?
Yeah. Alex, you reviewed the South Park game, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I quite liked it.
Yeah. I need to play that still. It sounded great.
I played like the first 45 minutes of it, and just I haven't gotten back to it. That part seemed cool.
Yeah.
It's not a complicated game by any stretch, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very lightweight RPG, but I think it does that stuff really well. And the writing definitely shows. It's a much... Obviously, they wrote it, and it isn't just some developer writing it, like every other fucking South Park game.
It's like a barrage of fan service.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, probably the way you should do that game.
That is funny on its own without just having to know all those references, which is nice. If I
like that other one that, that came out like a year or so before that, that side scroller, like that was literally just here are lines from the show.
Yeah, that thing.
On top of a really awful platformer.
Oh, man, I don't even remember that game.
Tower was like, defense? Yeah, it was like Tower
Defense. Oh, that one. No, not the Tower Defense one, the Tenorman's Revenge.
Tenorman's Revenge.
One.
It was like a multiplayer platformer, right?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, that thing was real bad.
There have been a lot of bad South Park games.
Yeah.
I had a special place in my heart for that first person one. I know it was kind of busted.
Oh, is that 64?
Yeah.
Throwing yellow snowballs at people.
Yeah, all the fire snowballs.
I think I reviewed that game.
Like, the controlled, like, absolute garbage.
Yeah, it was real bad.
I think I was at the right age or something.
It was a hot acclaim release.
Oh, God.
Right. One of many hot acclaim releases.
Hot steaming.
Yeah. They did a lot of good stuff with that license. They had this, that kart game, kart racing game.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
South Park Rally.
Mm-hmm.
They did that, was it like a trivia game show thing? Like the Chef's House of Love or whatever the hell it was.
I remember that.
Yeah. There's a lot of real fucking winners in that batch.
I bet they all sold loads.
They probably did fine. Yeah. They probably... propped up Acclaim the same way the Simpsons games did through the NES and SNES era.
There are two different Simpsons racing games as well, aren't there? Or was one of them an open world game and the other one was a racing game?
Are you thinking about Hit and Run?
Yes.
That was an open world game.
Yeah.
That game was good.
Yeah,
that game was cool.
I think there was a racing like the year before.
There was a Simpsons racing game, that is true. I can't remember what platform it was on. That might have been like original Xbox.
And then there was the skateboarding game, right? Wasn't there a Simpsons skateboarding game?
Yes, there was a Simpsons skateboarding game, which came out before even those did. I think that was when like Fox Interactive was still putting that stuff out.
You just play as Bart the whole time?
No, you can skateboard as multiple characters in that game.
Leading Gums Murphy. Yeah.
I think I only remember that game because that game was on the show floor like at maybe the first or second E3 I ever went to.
Mm. Sometimes I think it'd be really fun to look at some of those older games and then just craft a pitch deck for them.
Just like back solve what the pitch
was. Like here's how they pitch this thing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay, so it's The Simpsons, but everybody's skateboarding. Tony Hawk's real popular, right?
Simpsons Wrestling there was as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, did that even come out? Did that game actually come out?
I don't remember.
We're going to look it up. We're going to look up Simpsons Wrestling.
Is it like the one franchise that's actually transcend, like it's gone in every genre?
Most of them.
Is there Simpsons MMO? There is. Isn't there? Is there like a browser MMO about the Simpsons?
Yeah, it's tapped out, but I don't know if that's an MMO.
Oh, no, it's the Family Guy one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Simpsons Rhythm Games?
Simpsons Wrestling. It was a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seen the box.
Let's see what GameSpot gave Simpsons Wrestling.
I'm more curious to know who wrote the review.
Yeah. I will give you that information as well.
Would you like to go to wrestling?
This is 2001. This is pretty...
I mean, I was the before Alex came on. I think I reviewed most of the wrestling stuff.
Would this fall under your remit?
No, there's no recent forum activity on this game. Shocking.
Weird. You should probably post something there.
Yeah.
In half of a mile, right turn onto A Street.
It's starting to sound like how my Twitter followers stop.
Yeah, alright, reviews, here we go.
It doesn't work on my phone. Then I have to tell Alexis, and then he gets mad.
Simpsons Wrestling got a 6.4.
Uh-huh, okay.
Let's see who wrote the review. Frank Provo.
Okay. Yes.
That makes sense. You still keep up with him?
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. What's he up to?
I want to say he works at a bank. Or he's going to school. Right. Some stuff, maybe a bit of both.
Yeah, this is a real Frank Provo kind of review right here. It's like four really long paragraphs.
I mean, that game has like everything about it just says like, we should probably just fucking send this to Frank.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, I don't want to touch this thing.
Nope. And to be fair, Frank would take any of that stuff with plenty of enthusiasm.
That's the beautiful thing about the era in which you could do a lot of freelance is that they just want the work, so they will always say yes.
Yep.
There's plenty of work.
Yeah.
pretty sure I put Brett Todd's kids through college with just shitty bargain basement PC adventure games.
Mayor Brett Todd.
Now, yeah.
He's a mayor?
He's a mayor.
He was a city council person when he was freelancing for us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mayor in Canada.
There's that, and like what, like Deslock is a lawyer?
Yeah, no, and Bruce Garrick, he's from way back when, but he was like going through his, he's like a neurosurgeon, he is a medical professional.
Jesus. And of course we all know where Walpaw ended up, so. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you telling me that like the freelancers who never got ensnared in actually being full-time games journalists all went on to have like, rich, fulfilling lives professionally?
I don't know how fulfilling they were, but you know, they've gone on to some other things. I think Frank works in like a bank now or
That's
something.
What I'm saying, yeah. I think he's doing that, or he's going to school
for
some stuff too, still.
Sign spinner. Yeah, yes.
Flip that sign. Grand opening, so get some furniture.
Proceed about 8 tenths.
My question is, did like sign spinning, it couldn't have started as like a function of the job, right? Like some guy
was
standing there super bored and just started doing it, and then it became
and then he became the most successful sign man of all time.
That's,
somewhere there's a franchise that he owns of sign men where he just shows everyone how to do it.
Just like a really intense school.
Yeah.
Like a
and then, like, they divvy up territories to everyone. Okay, here's the corner where your signing will happen.
Yeah. I don't know why it is taking us through Hayward like this.
Yeah, this is...
Because the 580 is, like, right there.
Like, are we going by Adam's place?
In half of a mile, right turn, onto Groveway.
Whatever, man. Yeah. We're getting to see parts of Hayward that we would never get to see, like, any part of Hayward.
Look at that tent.
This is a nice-looking car wash.
Yeah. Piano? Do I? They're on sale.
Traveling through places like this is just completely fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Just seeing these areas. It's like in San Francisco, you basically live in like this tiny, tiny little area.
Yeah.
A couple of miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere else in the Bay is a lot more spread out. I mean, this Hayward might as well be LA, honestly. Like,
it is pretty similar.
Just right
turn. Yeah. San Jose and stuff looks like this.
Yep.
I'm trying to think what other big freelancers there were back then, but I guess a lot of them just ended up getting sucked into different full-time jobs and stuff, like Christian Nutt.
Yeah, Peter Bartholo. Making Skullgirls happen.
Oh, wow, really?
Tom Chick is still doing his thing. Quarter 30.
Did Tom Chick write for GameSpot?
Yeah.
Oh.
He did, I don't know that he did console, I think he
did a lot of PC reviews.
He did a lot of PC reviews, though, yeah.
Proceed about 1 mile to...
I hadn't met him until, like, about a year ago.
Oh, yeah? He's super nice. I don't know. He's one of those guys that, like, I don't know that what one would expect in person. The crazy, he's done, like, I used to, he wrote really great, I don't know if he still does, well, no,
he
does film
site.
Reviews, yeah, but I used to really like his film reviews as well, but he used to be, like, an actor, at least in some, he's on, like, he has, like, small parts on, like, Beverly Hills 90210, which is, like, amazing as an idea.
IMDb page right now.
Wow.
But this is his, this is his past life. Like,
was that the vetting process for?
Oh, you mean like hire full time?
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily, not because often it was like the geography just kind of prevented it, and a lot of it wasn't.
That's technically how I got hired, though.
Yeah, and same here for that matter.
So Tom Chick was on Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
Living single.
Okay.
The Queen Latifah sitcom. News Radio, he was on
one
episode.
Oh, wow. That's a good
one
show.
One episode of ER. two episodes of Frasier as a waiter. I think different waiters in
each
episode.
Back.
One episode of The King of Queens. One episode of Grounded for Life. An episode of Dream On.
Dude, it's quite a, quite a bit of stuff.
An episode of Joan of Arcadia.
Okay.
Nine episodes of The West Wing.
What?
Wow.
Reporters in the press room, right?
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Keep right.
And four episodes of The Office.
580 East.
What?
That's someone named Gil.
What's the most recent?
That's the most recent one.
Yeah, that's
2007.
Yeah,
wow,
so that's
crazy.
Not that long ago.
I didn't realize. Still doing it.
So yeah, Tom Chick, television actor extraordinaire. Yeah.
Proceed on I-580
cool.
East.
And now it begins in earnest.
Yes.
This is the 5.
Yep.
Not yet. This is still the 580.
Okay.
I'll have to.
Yeah. It just gets really flat.
Just gets flatter
and yeah.
More desolate and more desperate as we go.
Yep. Then you drive by some cows.
Yeah.
You gotta close all the windows.
Watch out for deer.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye out.
I never really understood what you were supposed to do with that information.
Just know that they're there. You know
exactly. Just be aware that deer exist for the next
so when one runs in front of your car, you won't be surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, shouldn't they just be like, hey, you should probably always drive like there might be deer something. Like, drive like something might go wrong. Like, be on your shit. Don't just...
That's the correct way to approach things. I just don't think most people actually approach things that way.
Yeah.
You ever hit a deer?
I've never hit a deer.
Nope.
You ever hit another animal?
I crashed into a bird once.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
We're about to start killing hundreds and hundreds of bugs, though.
Yeah.
Well, they're not real animals.
No, they don't count.
You would think, like, bug society would, like, tell them to, like, not fly over the highway, but...
I don't think it's real that well organized.
It may not be, or like
they don't have a central government really that it would tell them that sort of thing.
You'd figure that there'd be some sort of hive mind mentality of
exactly.
Like, look, just fly higher. Like, we have widespread reports that anyone flying low
just never comes
back.
They're
not making it back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe bug journalism just isn't where it needs to be. You know, they just aren't spreading that information around.
Or maybe bug journalism's in the pocket of Big Freeway.
There you go.
Big car wash.
Yeah.
It's all a racket.
All right. Need to not go behind this thing anymore.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that car is pretty banged up. Behind that big dump thing.
I know, right? Yeah, so that's when you get behind it again, and that's when the opening of Final Destination movie happens.
Right.
Which one was that? Two?
All of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
2 through 7, right.
Some sort of happenstance resulted in a lot of people dying horribly, so yeah, it's every single one of them.
You still watch a lot of movies?
Not as much as I used to, but yeah, I try to get out semi-regularly. My girlfriend is not a huge movie person, so when we do watch stuff, it tends to be at home. I mean, movie theaters are garbage anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, the movie theater experience is not always
good. Not these days.
There's like, you go to the, I stopped going to movies in theaters, like, mostly, but then... Once in a while, I'll go to the Kabuki, and you can, like, get an assigned seat and get a drink, and, like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
There's an Alamo Draft House now in Yonkers, which is about 20, 25 minutes from where I live.
Yeah.
I went up there for a Nicolas Cage marathon.
Oh, man.
Late last year.
What movies were in the marathon?
Let's see. It was Face Off.
Okay.
it was... was Vampire's Kiss. And it was Red Rock West. It was like a weird, and there was one other one, I think. It was a weird mixture.
Never seen Red Rock West.
It was
that is a weird fucking mix of movies.
Yeah.
I have one where Nicolas Cage has made a weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was real. I think they just wanted to throw something unpredictable in there that wasn't just like the obvious choices. And that's a weird movie too, because that one, like, when it came out, it was out in a bunch of like film festivals, and everyone really liked it, and then no distributors bought it.
Yeah.
So some guy just bought the rights to that movie and started touring around with it, in various movie theaters, and then HBO, I guess, picked it up or something.
When did that come back?
It was like 94, 95, because that was like when Laura Flynn Boyle still mattered.
Like, Laura Flynn Boyle still matters.
Yeah.
Should we take that back?
No. Dennis Hopper was in that movie. J.T. Walsh. Dennis Hopper and J.T. Walsh were the two bad guys in that movie.
What's the best Nicolas Cage movie? Is that like an answerable question?
Here we go. There's 3 hours right there.
Honeymoon in Vegas, the end. It's a good movie.
I think that Vampire's Kiss is probably the most ridiculous Nicolas Cage movie.
Which one? By that metric. Yeah.
That is the one where he's the screaming, "I'm a vampire, I'm a vampire, I'm a vampire." I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth on like The Rock and Face Off.
Yeah,
those are two.
Yeah.
The Rock is a goddamn great.
Yeah, phenomenal.
I really liked. I'm surprised. People are super hot and cold on Face Off. I loved it when I first saw it.
Yeah. It's still amazing.
Yeah.
Other than the creepy face touching all the time, it's
amazing.
Oh, the creepy face touching is the best part.
No, it's good, right? Yeah.
That's what that whole movie is about.
Yeah. No, exactly.
That happened during that marathon. The entire audience just groaned audibly. Oh, God.
That was John Woo's, like, second. He did Hard Target, and then he did that. Hard Target was, like, not bad either.
Who did Broken Arrow?
Oh, he did that too.
Yeah, you're right. That was actually his third. That was his third.
Okay, yeah. Broken Arrow is good.
Broken Arrow's really good.
Yeah.
I have zero problems with Broken Arrow.
No, absolutely. That was one of the better.
Another space, great John Woo, John Travolta collaboration.
Christian Slater, pretty good in it.
Yeah.
Samantha Mathis.
Yeah.
And Howie Long.
That's right. Yeah.
A great Howie Long performance.
Yep.
Specifically the bit where he is pretending that they have found the exposed core and he is pretending to shriek into the microphone and just going, "We found it! This is the worst. This is the fucking worst." God damn it, Howie Long. I like to think that they had to do 20 takes of that and finally just went, "Fuck it, we're moving on." Like, we're not getting anything else here.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, you know, if he was really just like a mercenary type dude, then he wouldn't necessarily be a trained actor.
You know,
so
okay,
he's actually getting a nuanced performance there.
Sure. Okay. Fine.
Anyone ever see Firestorm, the other Howie Long movie?
No.
Yeah, that's the one he actually just starred in. He was like a forest firefighter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like a smoke jumper or something, wasn't
he? Yeah, he's a smoke jumper, and then there's like criminals somewhere in the middle of forest fire, and he is thrust into action.
It was like they start the fire as a cover for a bank robbery or something.
Yeah, basically it's Hard Rain with fire.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but it's not as good.
Isn't there a Howie Long movie called Long Bomb, or am I just making that up?
Wait, what was that?
Long Bomb.
Long Bomb.
Howie Long in Long Bomb.
That sounds like a thing that would exist. Let me verify this right now.
Or was that just something that my mind dreamed up? It's like he's a football player,
like,
but then there's a crime at a football game.
Yeah. That's like Flash Gordon.
Right.
Oh, right. He was in 3,000 Miles to Graceland, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That is not a real movie. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Talk to Alexis later.
Yeah.
Heard you've been talking shit about the Simpsons. Run for him.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to get my phone out to figure out who the hell that was.
Um, 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yeah, 3,000 Miles to Graceland is a pretty good movie. Ice-T with...
The
the submachine guns.
The dumbest cameo
spinning
ever.
Upside down, or like upside down spinning with both his arms outstretched. It's like some kind of mercenary.
One of the all-time great Kevin Costner performances.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a
oh yeah, of course he is.
As a bank robbing Elvis impersonator who believes he is actually the son of Elvis.
Yeah.
Around here,
like a lot of this, like
these complexes. I mean, they probably like add another couple of rows of these like townhouses things every year.
Like I don't remember that IMAX theater being that giant thing back there.
I mean, I've heard of people that are living down here and still commuting into the city.
Oof.
That sounds
which
insane.
Just seems completely insane.
That's just is Caltrain to the left of us. What that is?
Yeah.
What is this, like Livermore?
We're coming up on Livermore, I think.
Yeah, the Southeast Bay is just a real pit for the most part.
Yeah. I feel like there's, like, there were a lot of opportunities for Nicolas Cage films to be turned into games that didn't.
Yeah.
Which is probably for the best, I guess, but...
Your matchstick man game.
Yeah.
Well, at least, I mean, the bad, obvious... like, the National Treasure stuff, like...
Sure,
right. They obviously...
Yeah, that would have been a real easy licensing thing to pull off.
But yeah, even The Rock or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I think they might be making one more. I don't know.
They probably
talked about it for a while, at least. I don't know, he's doing that Left Behind movie now, so...
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is
the
he
one that's
like...
coming out in... No, he's not.
Really? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
it's a paycheck.
Okay.
He still takes those paychecks, because I think he is still paying off some of that tax stuff, so...
I see.
When you say Left Behind, do you mean that, like...
The religious...
Yeah,
it's
like a, what's it called? A
so,
Rapture, Revelations...
Rapture. The version they are making now, I believe, it is far less overtly religious. Like, it is about the Rapture, but...
Well, you can't even tell, like, the... Whatever, the movie poster is just, like, him and a couple of dudes and, like, a thing that looks like a nuke going off. So you'd have no idea that it has any kind of, like, biblical type.
Also, that is one of the worst movie posters I've ever seen.
It looks pretty photoshopped.
It's just really badly, hastily photoshopped.
Yeah, it's weird.
The other Left Behind movie starred Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron, yeah.
It was very religious, so...
Yeah, that was like the sort of movie you could get for free by mailing away to someone.
Yep.
And agreeing to receive mail for the rest of your life.
And they just write a letter that just says, hey, God's cool, and then they just send that to you forever.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the video game? The Left Behind one?
There were like a few of them. Oh, yeah. They had like a real-time strategy game
and
stuff.
We did review a couple of them.
Yeah, we did.
I'm trying to remember, but now I need to know what freelancer we pawned those off on. Look,
it's like
right
Scott.
Now.
I forget Scott's last name.
Basically, Stat Boy over here. That's fine. Oh, Left Behind.
Yeah, those were not good.
And they were like, it was one of those things that was like, I guess maybe it's a demographic fit or something, but it's just like big rigs or something. It was just like, this is at Walmart. That's it.
Yeah. Left Behind Eternal Forces, Left Behind Tribulation Forces, and Left Behind 3 Rise of the Antichrist.
By the third one, they're like they're kind of into it. There's like no beating around the bush here. This is what this is about.
There's no form activity on Rise of the Antichrist.
Damn it. I feel like those first two games were kind of like the same game twice.
I think they were, yeah.
I seem to remember those reviews being weird in some way.
To say like an awful comparison in quality standards, but it was kind of like Freedom Force, isn't it? You had like a little group of people.
I think it was, like an isometric squad strategy-ish thing. Though Freedom Force was awesome.
Yeah, great.
Left Behind Eternal Forces, the first one, got a 3.4.
Yeah.
Brett Todd.
Okay. Mayor Brett Todd.
Mayor Brett Todd says not so much on that one. Did we review the second one? Let's find out.
I think there were two. Yeah. I vaguely recall.
Oh, that's right. You did an Escape from Mount Stupid on religious games, and these were associated with that.
Great. I was wondering why I remembered the dumb game. Turns out there aren't that many religious games.
Yeah. Like once you kind of get out of like Supernova's Ark or whatever, you kind of.
Messiah. It's a pretty good one.
Messiah wasn't even a religious game.
No, not really.
I mean, it says right on the box, though. Yeah.
Well, that was like, it was just weird.
Like, at some point, you might just say that Populous is a religious game.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, yeah. Populous is like more of a...
Black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. A lot of games have, like, gods in them. Right. Yeah. It's like any, like, fantasy.
Like, Gods, for example, has gods in it.
Goddess.
Goddess.
Does not appear in the GameSpot review the other two.
Really?
Games,
okay.
So.
Okay. All right, then.
I seem to remember there being some kind of controversy around that review. Like, maybe it's like the publisher was up in arms about it or something. I can't remember.
That sounds familiar.
Or it was one of those things where it's like, it'd be really easy to rip this game apart for reasons that have nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't do that. It was,
right.
It's like that same feeling that I had reviewing the Guy game.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, I mean...
You gotta separate it or whatever. It's, like, easy to... Crap on
or at least back then we were separating it.
Yeah, back then we were a lot more like, you know, we have to be very clinical about this kind of stuff.
Or if something is like fundamentally bad, it's okay.
But like the Guy game for what it was well made.
What was the Guy game?
It was like a trivia game
They shot a bunch of full motion video, or they shot a bunch of video at like spring break.
Yeah.
And then had girls answering the questions, and sometimes you'd have to pick if they were going to get it right or wrong, and there was like a fair number, like a fair amount of topless women in it.
Yeah, there was a strict
not as many as they like wanted you to believe there were based on what they were selling it on, but
what was it on?
It was on Xbox and PS2.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I don't think this made it to Europe.
Oh yeah. Well, so the other thing that happened is that one of the girls in it turned out to be under 18, and signed the release form or everything, and it was like after the fact they got sued. And pulled it off shelves.
That's right.
So that's cool.
Shocking to me that people involved in making that game did not do their due diligence.
Yeah. Well, it was like ex-Turok people started that studio.
Wow.
Like after Acclaim kind of went away or whatever it was, or they got away from it or something, so it was like, here's the minds behind Turok Rage Wars providing you with this is like what? So I remember they came into the office to show it off.
Yeah.
And it was like sat there, watched it for a while, and they were trying. It was like almost exactly the same as the BMX Triple X appointment.
Oh, yeah.
Where the people showing the game are like, huh? Yeah? Right? Right on, man. And I'm just like sitting here shaking my head, just going, okay, thank you for the demo. Like,
please leave. It's funny.
Please, I can't do this.
That was one of the highest traded in games in the GameStop ever.
BMX Triple X.
It's
a fucking horrible game.
One of them came in and had a joint in the manual where the manual was supposed to be. Perfect.
Did you give him extra for that then? Or
get an extra €2.
You get a $5 GameStop gift card for that.
Yeah.
Careful now, that runs out in 5 days.
Yeah. Sure, congratulations on joining the Power Up program. Yeah, BMX Triple X was really awkward because the demos were being done by a guy who was the brother of the head of Acclaim.
Oh, right.
Like, he was coming out with, like, the guy who had written it and... Or, like, the producer, and I think the writer came out for one of them also.
Like, even a writer?
They were going around saying, it was the producer and a guy who was the brother of the head of the company. I don't know what his role on the game was, but he just had this thing of, like, this... All of this seemed bad. But they kept talking about, like, we got a real Hollywood writer to do this. Real Hollywood writing talent.
He is a guy
contributing to the script for BMX Triple X. That's why it's so hilarious.
Yeah.
That's why we're calling these inline skaters fruit booters, because Hollywood writing, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it was just, fuck, man. I guess someone who liked those games or liked that genre, that thing was just the saddest demo in the world to take. Yeah. and then I reviewed the game and gave it, like, whatever low point, low score it got. And then, so it was, like, after the review went up, but the game was just about to launch.
Yeah.
And they were having a launch party at a strip club in New York.
As one does.
Yeah, and they really wanted people to go. So, and I said, no, of course not. Primarily because I just reviewed the game, and I, like...
Didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, do you really want me to go hang out with the team that worked on this game? Like, right after I said it was fucking garbage? Like, what... You know, who wins there? Not me.
Well, we put this mini ramp in this strip club.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
But they would not take no for an answer, so they actually went, like, above my head a few different directions, saying, like, they're really stonewalling us not coming to this party. What's going on?
Dude, I don't remember that shit.
Yeah, they, so went, they went to sales. They went, no, fuck no.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to sales. They went to, like,
yeah.
Was Joe there? That, whoever...
That would have
probably went to Vince.
Yeah, Vince, I guess, would have still been there at that point. Like, they started crawling up the up, trying to, like, get me to go to this thing. It turns out it's because everyone had turned them down, because who would fly all the way to New York to go to a strip club for this abysmal game? And they were just, like, desperately. It was like PR was looking real bad, because it's like, you're supposed to be friends with, you know, you're supposed to be able to get these people to come to these things. Which is, like, an unrealistic view of that relationship anyway, but it's a claim we're talking about.
Yeah.
When you can't fill, like, a free strip club, you know you're probably not great in PR.
I want to say that that was Michelle, who was doing PR for Acclaim at the time still, and then she would later go on to be head of PR at Eidos right around the time that Kane and Lynch came out.
Right.
She left shortly after all that stuff happened.
So long and storied history there.
So this is just like...
It's like the hard, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most hardcore, like, PR racket, whatever.
Yeah.
Eidos had a storied reputation around that stuff. Kane and Lynch is, like, late in their history.
Well, like, it seemed like most of their history was, like, in the U.S. Or in the U.K., rather. Like, I feel like they were way more heavy-handed with...
Yeah. I mean, they always had, like, we were talking about, like, the early days of E3, like, they used to throw, like, the insane, debauchery-filled E3 parties.
That was, I always like to talk about the Eidos party in Atlanta that I went to, where they had the gigantic ice sculpture of Lara Croft, Third Eye Blind, to say, yeah, man, Lara Croft, she's so hot, I want to fuck her, and then they start playing another song, and I'm like, I can't fucking be here anymore, I cannot be here.
Wow.
Steven Jenkins, man. Holy shit.
Do you reckon that was in his contract?
I don't know. I
bet a mention of Lara Croft in there was probably contractually obligated.
No, you have to say you want
a
fucker.
I bet maybe he ad-libbed a little bit there.
God.
Wow.
It was like, that was sort of the point where I was like, you know, maybe I'm done with most E3 parties.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to be, like, be a part of any of this anymore.
And here you are.
And here I am, right.
I mean, by the time I got into this full-time, like, the parties were down to just the hardware companies. Like, it was just Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
Yeah, and so Nintendo's parties were always like, you know, we've got a man and a piano here and classy drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple of bands, but it was never anything that...
They had Michael McDonald one year.
That is amazing.
Yep.
God, I wish I'd actually been there for that. There's me drunkenly screaming, Yamo, be there!
But, like, when Sony was taking over the parking lot of Dodger Stadium and stuff like that, and, like, you know, 2004 and all the other stuff, like, there were some really crazy parties. It was a lot of stuff of, like, standing around near the banks of outhouses and then just, like, watching drunken Kojima stumble out of one of them.
Yeah.
You're like, this is just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sony Dodger Stadium ones are crazy.
I remember, Greg, you telling me some story at some Sony party where you saw Kojima, like, getting all heated with his translator or something. Like, he was hella drunk and was acting all fucking crazy.
I don't remember that. Like, I've definitely like run into him briefly at those. I don't remember that exactly.
Yeah.
At PAX, what was it? It was, like, PAX Prime last year. I was staying at the same hotel where he was staying. So I felt like I was stalking him real bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like every we were just having meals at all the same time and always like a couple of tables apart. It's just like watching him like live tweet his own food.
Yeah. And meanwhile, whatever. You're over there under a cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no, I've only had passing interactions.
Yeah, I don't think that I had ever actually spoken to him until the PS4 launch event when they showed Ground Zeroes.
Yep.
He's super, like, low-key and
personal. Yeah, yeah.
Which, yeah, it explains a lot.
Explains why those things are so maddening.
No, yeah, I mean, I think.
I like his style with those things, but it's a very particular thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is. But, yeah.
Now we are on the i5.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So it looks like this for about 5.5 hours, pretty much.
Except without the cool windmills, yeah. So say goodbye to those.
And after a certain point, like, the hills even go away. It's just a flat version of this.
And a lot of signs along the side of the road that are complaining about politicians selling water.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like those signs have perpetually been there for over a decade, I think, at this point. To the point where they're, like, crossing out one senator's name and writing in whoever the next one is. Yeah, we'll see how the signal holds up here.
Yeah, does it break up at some point?
Yeah, I mean, it'll cellular signal's not terrific through this entire drive, so folks at home may get interruptions and all sorts of stuff. But I guess so. But all of it gets recorded locally.
Oh, cool.
So when it gets uploaded later, all the gaps get filled in. So don't take it breaking to suddenly say, "Hey, are you going to the appointment for this unannounced game?" So, like, oh jeez.
Dude, is that a Safeway?
Yeah, that's a big old Safeway, like distribution Safeway plant or something right here. Wind powered.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've always been way into the idea of wind and solar power and stuff. It always just seems like the getting all that stuff installed is still way too expensive.
Yeah, they just haven't found a way to make it real super consumer friendly yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel pretty good about, like, kind of where the game industry got to compared to where it was in terms of just, like, parties and weirdness.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little, yeah.
The debauchery has definitely been toned down by several notches.
The thing is, it's like, yeah, this may be too cynical, but, like, if there were more money flying around, like, I don't know that stuff is gone because people have, like, you know what I mean? Like, taking, like, a moral higher ground, they just, like, can't afford it.
They don't have the money. Yeah,
I don't know if that's actually true. It's probably a little of each.
It's probably a bit of both. But I think about it, like, I think about it, like, the CES days and stuff, where there was just, it looked like, well, that way. But there were people that, like, very much cared about, like, being a games journalist.
Right.
I feel like, coming from the UK, maybe it's worse there still. Maybe it's a couple of years behind you guys here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that stuff's still going on.
I get the impression that the UK and parts of the Euro press, it's still real wild and woolly out there. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of oversight for some of that stuff.
I just remember hearing, it's probably like 4-5 years ago now. I remember talking to someone who was doing PR who was just like, oh yeah, you know, and I was talking to the creative director on a game who was telling me, like, how excited he was that the game had gotten on a lot of magazine covers and stuff in the UK.
Yeah.
And then just offhand mentioned it to the PR person, like, oh yeah, he was all, you know, excited about you guys getting the game onto all these magazine covers. Nice work. And he said, yeah, I didn't have the heart to tell him that we paid for all of it.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is over there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So,
I mean, that's why Futures magazine business is still going at this point, you know? Like, they can actually find
ways. I can't imagine. That's really...
I don't know, man.
Well, do you know about what happened at Futures last week?
I mean, they just announced Mess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty... Ouch.
Futures just kind of a mess all around.
Oh, that's been a long time going, man.
So they sold off all the music magazines, right?
That was the first shut thing them down. In the US, yeah. They got rid of, because that was the only thing they could get any real money out of.
Yeah.
Because those magazines were still doing well.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, Golden Gods, the Revolver, like, award show they do every year is really profitable. So, like that shit does really well for them.
Huh. Weird.
So that was the first thing they got rid of course.
Yeah.
I remember going in there years ago for an interview, actually, for a web job before I was in the Games Press. And being in, like, this waiting room that had basically every magazine that they had.
Uh-huh.
And the stuff that they were making, like, some of it was, like, the game stuff was this little section, and then it was, like knitting monthly and, like, quilt wear biannual and all this stuff. But it was insane. It was just dozens and dozens and dozens. Such a wide breadth of business.
Yeah.
Like, herding cats.
Well, that was always the weird thing, is that, like... Yeah, I mean, here, Larry Flint published game magazines for a while.
Yeah.
So, they did Tips and Tricks.
Well, that's Ron. Ron Doolin came from that.
There was a handheld magazine too that was there, wasn't it?
But
I think
VG and CE was.
It was either that, yeah, or
it was, an LFP
or
book,
it was called like Computer Games or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look this up. Larry Flint, video game publications.
So it's just like, you know, people off to the side running video game magazines in the middle of the Hustler offices.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's just like weird nudity everywhere, and then you're off writing up cheats for SNES games.
Yeah.
There was a magazine at one stage in the UK, and I think it was called Computer Action Games. It was super niche. It was basically like any game that had like gone.
So you mean every magazine now?
Yeah. The weirdest thing about it was that they had like models hold like in it throughout the whole thing. So they just have like models holding up. Like they do a feature on World War II games, and they had like model dressed up as a scantily clad Russian. They just pictured like this actually rather well written stern article about.
Yeah.
It was so crazy, and I think it was like four or five. Were in the store, and then they stopped sending it to us.
So they had VG and CE, Tips and Tricks,
right.
And they also had Turbo Play magazine.
Yes, Turbo Play.
Which was their TurboGrafx dedicated magazine.
Nice.
Where were the GameSpot founders at before they left to do it?
Well, they were all, Vince was the one with the editorial background.
Right.
But
I think, want to say that John Epstein was... I want to say all three of them came out of some.
No, there magazine. Was some magazine. Yeah, I forget the name now. It's not like this is wrong, but it's something like Maximum PC was like years
right,
later,
yeah.
But it was something. I want to say it's something like that.
Huh.
It wasn't like PC Magazine, but yeah, it was one of those bigger.
Yeah.
Like,
and then like Vince had a 900 number for TurboGrafx games.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He like had this weird soft spot in his heart for TurboGrafx games because of that.
Some good TurboGrafx games.
Yeah.
God, that 900 number racket from like the 80s and the early 90s.
Yeah. Like EGM had their 900 line and yeah.
I called that Nintendo line a few times when I was a little kid. Get some tips on Zelda 2.
Back in my day. the tips line was still a toll-free number.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then eventually, when they realized how much money they were throwing away, they moved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sega had a free tip line
also. 1-800-USA Sega.
I called that, like, at least once. Probably a couple of times. No, I called that a bunch of times.
I think that might be where Geronimo, if not his start, like Geronimo Rockstar now. Got
awesome.
His start in the Sega phone banks.
That's fantastic.
Is he still a rock star?
Yeah.
Cool.
So they weren't automated. There was like a person on the other end.
Yeah.
They played. They played like music. Like game music was the whole music.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty cool.
I guess where they just had like a giant book full of like information
on
all of those games, and they would just have to turn to the page that they needed to like figure out what to tell you.
And the Nintendo line was weird because like they wouldn't hang up on you. Unless you were abusive.
Right.
Like, if you just wanted to call up and talk, they would.
Yeah.
Not that I did that, but that was that was the story, right? I mean,
yeah, that they would. Button.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Oh, I used to work in an AOL call center. That happens all the time.
People just look at people, reach out.
They just want
to
talk.
They just need a human connection. Kind of like any human connection.
If you're like a kid who's way into the NES and you like call a man on the phone and this man knows all about like Double Dragon or something, it's like the coolest person you've ever talked to.
Right.
So,
and for me, the frustrating thing was I called them up looking for hints for the second quest of Zelda at one point. Yeah. And instead of just telling me where it was, like, he was trying to lead me to the answer. Like, honestly, well, have you maybe looked around here? Have you tried this? Like, motherfucker,
just tell me
where it is. I'm, like, sitting my parents' tire shop on the phone. Like,
I just imagine your mom just, like, shaking her head at you, just like, God damn it.
I think they were just hopeful that it would all lead somewhere, and then when it seemed like it was going to, they're like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. This seems like something he's interested in that might be a thing.
My parents were still pretty clueless about what I do. It was great.
It took me getting fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Until they finally, like...
Wow.
My mom listens to the podcast and stuff now. Like,
really?
Yeah, she... Yeah.
Great.
For them to, like, understand sort of the scale of it?
Like the... Yeah. Like they got phone calls because their number was still listed, so they were getting phone calls from weird newspapers and all sorts of stuff when that thing got big. So they was kind of around then. It was like, oh, okay.
Those power pylons are really pretty.
Yeah. Sort of the predominant.
Yeah.
Decoration of this road.
This guy is driving too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the fast lane. Yeah.
Just drive past me, go flip them off. If that works, you're right.
Kinda. Yeah. But you never know, like, who's gonna take that the wrong way and get all violent about it.
Pull out a fucking gun.
Sorry. Apologies in advance. You know those speed, like, aircraft is monitoring speed things?
Yeah.
How the hell does that work?
So, radar.
They will, basically, like, they will fly alongside, like, you know, above the road. They'll make runs.
Do you ever see it?
Occasionally.
Really?
Yeah.
I got, one time I drove all the way to freaking Vancouver, and I got stopped because of one of those.
Yeah, like, they work with a unit on the ground.
Wow.
It's like, hey, there's a guy coming your way that is really going, so get him.
But I didn't see it. I think the guy who pulled me over even said, "Is like, you got whatever aircraft spotted you going blah blah blah." It's like, damn, I was looking out for that.
I've never had to test this, but the story I've always gotten is that if you want to challenge that ticket, you can try and do that, and they have to bring the airplane pilot in.
Yeah, they well
to
they
testify.
Do. I believe that. I mean, they have to do that even with like. Patrol cops and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, you get pulled over around here, and you could like go and try to fight it in court. And half the time, the guy won't show up to the appointment. Yep. But is it worth it to
That's go the all the way thing. Out? That's what you do when you're really vindictive and have a lot of free time.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I got a ticket driving to E3 in 07, and just ended up doing traffic school or something.
Yeah.
Like the alternative would have been to come down here and do something and, like. I'm not going to drive back down here to do anything, so...
Did a comedian host your traffic school?
I did online traffic school, so instead I sat there in my underwear and checked boxes, marked, yes, no, the speed limit is this, or, like, whatever other dumb questions they ask.
Yeah, the last time I got traffic school, online traffic school was not really recognized much in California, so...
Yeah, I got two tickets in pretty quick succession. So I guess I've gotten three speeding tickets overall. There was that one... And then I got two, I got one on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh,
he wrote it up as being just over the Golden Gate Bridge, so I didn't get the double fine,
Which
was nice of him.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a spot in Petaluma where it's, like, a six-lane road that is 25 miles an hour, which makes no sense.
Oh, jeez.
But it's specifically there so they can give tickets to people like me. And so I ended up having to pay one of them and do traffic school for the other, because they were too close together for me to do traffic school for both.
Why is there a double fine on the bridge?
Because they...
It's just safety or...
Yeah, safety or... dangerous. Because they can. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, every time I've ever had to do traffic school, it has always been like this is a comedian's day job thing.
Yep.
I never really understood how that became a thing, but it seems like every traffic school basically just hires comedians.
I mean, it's kind of awesome as an idea. Weird. I don't mind it as an idea, because it's like...
I think it would have minded it less if the comedians I ever actually got were funny.
No, yeah, they're not funny. It's just like, the premise, like we are gathered here today because, like, this is shitty.
Yep,
like,
yeah.
That's... So, which is a good premise for a comedian to, like,
totally
take over.
To run from. With.
So, that must be how it started, yeah. but same with, like, sign spinners from earlier. Like, I'm not sure how it became an institutionalized thing.
A friend of mine tried out for comedy traffic school, but then it turned out he had an outstanding ticket, and they really frown on that.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, it's super smart as an idea, right? Like, yeah. If you want to make a traffic school, and you're like, what can you do to distinguish your traffic school?
Right, it's like, you go anywhere.
Yeah, like, I'm going to make it funny. Like, it's going to not be the worst, like, 12 hours of your life or whatever. It's a good idea on the face of it.
Yep.
I mean...
They just need to do comedy jury duty now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, I was just thinking of, like, Virgin America, their little, like, prepare for boarding. Yeah. They're, like, the only airline that, for better or worse, they try to make their little, like, here's how you put on your seatbelt video entertaining.
I think other airlines have started to try, like,
yeah.
I think Delta has one that is apparently very bad.
Oh, yeah. Man. So, the first Delta one was just kind of quirky and... dumb, but it was fine. But they did one that is all 80s theme now.
Okay, yeah.
And it's the most exaggerated and just unbearable thing.
Mm. There's a... I think it's some Australian airline that has, like, a really high budget.
It's gotta be Qantas, right? There's, like, only one... Yeah. Only one Australian. Yeah, but you were saying?
Yeah, so, yeah, I remember seeing it. It's worth watching. It's,
oh, yeah.
I think there's, like, parachute jumping and stuff.
I at least appreciated the Virgin America one for acknowledging that, like, we know you know how to put on a seatbelt.
Exactly. Yeah. I was flying back and forth to LA a lot at that time, so I got sick of it, but
yeah.
I really liked it initially. It's like, that's clever.
Back when you could play Doom on their seat.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah. I think you may... No, you can't. Actually, I highly recommend next time you fly Virgin America to browse their games and play that stuff, because, like, if
it's
you want to...
real crazy bootlegs.
If you
want
to go back to, like, freaking 1993, like, shareware, it's apparently alive and well, because these aren't, like, old games. They're actually new games,
yeah.
But they're, like... They really feel like 1993 shareware games or something like that. It's really crazy. And they're all, like... PC mouse emulated, like, through their little crazy gamepad.
I the last time I even flew a version, it's been years.
Yeah, it's been a little bit for me, too.
It's like everywhere they fly, JetBlue does, too, and they're always cheaper, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I just always... We used to always fly United for work, so I ended up getting a bunch of United miles. And now I'm, like, inclined to kind of, like, keep flying United, even though it's terrible.
I just abandoned the miles I had there with them and American, because both those airlines are just so unbearable at this point. I mean, Delta's not that much better, but at least they don't fuck up my luggage or grossly overcharge me for everything.
Yeah. I really hate flying... pretty much in every respect.
Yeah.
It is a really shitty way to travel, by and large, especially in the U.S.
Yeah.
It is a lot better. like, my experiences on, like, Cathay Pacific and, like, British Airways and stuff are always far, far superior to any domestic airline.
Yeah, we always used to fly United to Tokyo for TGS and stuff, but I guess, like, you could technically fly, like, JAL or whatever, the Japan Air or whatever.
That was, like,
apparently that was a much better flight.
I see. It was still a decent, like, as an international flight, they, like, took relatively good care of you, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That's cool.
I did a lot of travel to Dubai over the past couple of years.
Dubai?
Like Qatar Airways and all those, and it's great.
Emirates and all
Emirates,
that stuff.
Yeah, I've done Emirates before, yeah.
What brought you to Dubai?
Oh, I had a girl out there for a while.
I see. How is that place? Interesting?
Interesting to visit.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, not the type of place I would like to live. It is
literally a city made out of basically nothing.
Yeah.
Like
did you set a bunch of civilians on fire with white phosphorus while you were there?
How were the sandstorms?
That was a weird, you know, when you play a game from a place you know and like stuff is wrong.
Yeah.
Like like I've never had that in Ireland, but for some reason I had it with Spec Ops.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not where the Burj Al Arab is. What's going on?
You should have written an indignant email to someone about that.
Yeah, it's a good, if you were, you know, going to the subcontinent, maybe if you're going to like Pakistan or India, like great place to stop for like a couple of days. But it's kind of culturally, you know, it's empty. It's a void.
Yeah.
It's got that type of like opulence that kind of turns my skin a bit. Like,
yeah.
Makes my skin.
I imagine it being like sort of just like Monaco times two or something. Like,
without
it's kind of Las Vegas
also.
And especially the part where it's just kind of like entirely sort of.
It's like something like 90% of the population is expats, so you know, if you're into that, then cool.
When's the last time you've been to TGS?
2008. Every year I want to go, and every year I kind of look at, like, why would you go?
Yeah.
Like, what's the real justification? It's like, it's just not going to be that much there. Like, last year would have theoretically been the year, but then it wasn't that big either. You figure, like, oh, well, PS4 is coming out, so it'll be a big show. But,
I mean, at this point, if we go, it's more just to, like, travel on, really.
Yeah.
It's like the show itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to Gamescom and you know...
Gamescom is still, like, enormous, but...
Yeah, and just see, like, the public days and just film it and get around the area.
The public days are a real nightmare.
Oh, Jesus.
But I've never been, so it's...
I haven't been since I worked at Harmonix, and I would like to go again.
Yeah.
Cologne's a really great city.
Yeah.
Like, I went to ECTS. That was the only...
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the European consumers?
It was in London.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
I think we both... Yeah. It was, like, in late... like 1999 or something.
I went in 2001.
There's the Eurogamer Expo.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And they have Rezzed also, I think it's the same.
Yeah.
It's a
those seem, I've heard good things about those shows.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
They're getting bigger as well.
Yep.
ECTS was weird because you'd go over there and it would be like, you'd be in the GameSpot UK booth.
Yeah.
You'd be like the handful of them, like me and Tim Tracy and Sam Parker off to the side. Stuff.
Sam Parker.
He went to that
Discus.
Discus.
Yeah.
Discus.
I think Sam Kennedy might be. No, he's not there. No.
He went
Albert or something, I think now.
Yeah. So yeah, Sam Parker I think is still in San Francisco and stuff.
The brief time my girlfriend was looking at applying at GameSpot, she interviewed with Sam Parker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. When was that?
That was the year I was living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why is it that San Francisco ended up being the sort of hub of, like, games...
It's...
More so games pressed than games developed.
Yeah. That's a weird question. Like, I don't know... the answer to that question. I remember when GameSpot started, like, I felt super lucky. Just like, oh man, this place is, like, close to...
Yeah.
I think it's because, like, a lot of media started moving online, and, like, yeah. there was definitely, like, a lot of tech stuff, right, like, internet stuff specifically
there,
happening.
There started area. To be that, like, yeah, yeah. that kind of, whatever.
So it's more to do
center
with
of gravity.
Just, like, online journalism than games specifically. It's like,
yeah, because, I mean, EGM was based out of Chicago
yeah,
for years.
And Game Informer,
Game Informer is still in Minneapolis. Yeah.
No, it must be that. And GameSpot, you know, and then IGN, right, probably created some of the groundswell for
yeah,
all that
yeah.
stuff. And then as people, like, left those places and went to work at...
Was GamePro always in SF?
I think so. They may have been in L.A. for a while, though. Mm.
Yeah, because there was stuff in L.A. at that time,
yeah.
obviously, like Flint Publications.
Yeah, like all the all those Flint
LA.
Books were out of L.A.
Yeah.
But Future was always in Brisbane.
Right.
And then IGN started right around there because they were the same company or
yeah.
not the same company or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Snowball.
God, that's right.
Yeah.
There's that other stuff, yeah. Insight.
Imagine.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Computech started Insight. A floor below us. Stole a couple of our people.
Yeah.
Was it a couple or was this?
It was like Tasso.
Oh, yeah, Tasso
yeah.
and Mara went over there.
Yeah. Yeah, weird days.
Yeah.
That Townsend building. A lot of weird .com history in there.
Yep.
I guess Sega still has that building now. I mean,
the fact that Sega
was upstairs from us in that building was like
right.
the freaking... Dreamcast fire sale is like sad and
yep.
memorable
yep.
experience.
They're in the same building.
Yeah, yep. we're literally in. I mean, it was super. It was kept like that. Sounds somehow inappropriate. It like was fine. It was kept totally separate as far
yeah.
as I remember.
Like I went up to their lobby a couple of times to pick up review builds.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or,
but it was like
know, instead of them mailing them.
Yeah.
But and then for a while they had a Planet Harriers set up in their lobby, so we went up there to play it a couple of times.
Yeah.
But.
But yeah, after the Dreamcast got, like, discontinued, essentially, they literally had, like, a everything-must-go, like, cash sale there, where
yeah,
it was just,
right.
like, yeah, it was, like, refurbished stuff and games. And,
oh, wow.
Just, like, stuff from cleaning out a warehouse.
Yeah, they're just trying to get rid of it.
I bought, a couple of CDXs.
Yeah, I have, like, the Pro Bass Fishing
yeah.
controller
wow.
or whatever.
Or, like,
all
five
boxed
sealed
up.
Copies of Shenmue.
yeah.
Like, bought them, like, I
yeah.
hate this game, but...
They're right
They're $2.
Here.
Yeah.
Oops.
Don't say you hate it, man. It's gonna come back. You'll see on Monday. just when you think the Microsoft press conference is over.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
I love that there's still a weird community of people.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
keeping the Sega weirdness alive
yeah.
after all these years.
Yeah.
Like now it's just specifically Shenmue weirdness. But they're still just as angry as they always
yeah.
were.
Yep.
The kind of anger that only like grows with time.
Right.
Doesn't,
yeah.
doesn't subside.
Whatever, man. Sega was the company that appealed to people with attitude, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
of course, those are the kinds of angry people that would still be holding that torch, you know?
I mean, the Dreamcast was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a,
yeah,
great,
it was a great system.
Yeah.
Great system that you could pirate for so fucking easily.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They eventually got to a point where there was no modification required.
Yeah.
Like, no
that's
disk at all.
The thing is,
part of what sank it. Or part of the
yeah.
reason why
yeah.
I think that, you know, it's just scared away third
we're,
parties.
We're like CD, yeah, I guess CD-ROM, it was, it, that stuff fit on a CD-ROM at the time, right?
Yep.
So you just burn it to a disc and there you go.
So it was their own format that could
yeah.
go up to a gig, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there were some
yeah.
games that wouldn't fit, but, yeah.
I mean, but console part, like, it seemed like piracy of, like, disc-based console games is always a much... smaller deal, like, for any console compared to, like, what was happening on PC, or even, like,
right.
handheld
yeah,
whatever,
sure.
DS, and
PSP.
That kind of stuff.
Like, all the Game Boy flashcards and
yeah.
stuff. The crazy thing that's happened is, like, now, you know, years later, there are flash carts available for just about everything, and it's like kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the same as like emulation on PC.
Right.
It's like keeping games that like would be just gone entirely. At least they're like someone has actually preserved them.
Like I thought about buying an Apple II, and then a fake floppy drive that is an SD slot, and you just put, you know, every single floppy image ever made for the Apple II on it. There's a little selector, and you just boot them all like they're real. There's a cartridge for this Commodore 64 that operates the same way.
What? Oh, wow.
It'll just load. It's basically emulating a disk drive attached to the system. And loading a little faster and all that sort of thing. It's just such a crazy concept.
I mean, it makes sense in that, like, there's no money in like, old-ass games, so the only people, you know, the companies that released them way back when, they're, like, gone or don't care or whatever, whereas you get these crazy hacker, whatever.
Right, yeah.
Someone who's just, like, a huge fan of that game from way back when, like...
Like, there are people trying to reassemble all the Satellaview games.
Oh, man.
Because those required, like, you had to play them at a certain time to get the audio broadcast off the satellite.
Wow.
Because it was, like, CD-quality audio that was coming down while you were playing it on a Super Famicom.
Jesus.
So they're trying to, like, piece together old recordings of some of that stuff and get it all to work. And it sounds like they're making some amount of progress. Yeah, it's crazy. I wish there was more of that stuff. You know, I mean, there's plenty of it, but then you still run into cases where, you know, trying to get MMOs back...
Yeah.
That don't run anymore.
Yeah, as more, like, with online games, a lot of those games are just...
Yeah.
They're just gone.
But I guess, like, within a couple of days of... Because, like, what, GameSpy shut down?
Yeah.
A lot of their servers and stuff, so... GameSpy powered the Wii and DS online stuff, so a lot of those games went offline. Someone already, like, is now emulating that server.
Interesting.
Like, you have to... I mean, you can't use it with legitimate software, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. So it's closed.
But it's like, I mean, people are willing to go to those lengths, right? I always thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's totally, it shows that, how much that stuff mattered to people.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't know that there's an Auto Assault private server running anywhere, and I'd be really interested to see that game again for some weird reason.
NC
like,
South,
even at the time, like, I didn't, it was not a great game.
Somehow stuck, right?
Yeah.
It was just, a like, cool
conceptually,
concept.
It was awesome, but it's like someone's finally making good on Auto Duel.
That was like shortly before City of Heroes or something.
Yeah,
that was like
so.
An interesting time for MMOs.
Yeah.
Who's the company that did City of Heroes again?
NCSoft published it, right? But they what are they called? They're around here in the Bay Area.
Did they do Champions Online? It wasn't them, was it?
They did Neverwinter, I think. I think it's
Yeah. So that's... Well, it's the Star Trek Online people then, right? Is that... No.
Yeah, I love that.
Cryptic is the company that did...
Yeah, I think that's it.
Star Trek Online.
It's City of Heroes and City of Villains are both...
Yeah, they're gone now.
I lost track of MMOs.
Yeah,
stopped playing them.
We watched Brad play a couple hours of WildStar.
Yeah, like, heard good things, but
it seems like an MMO.
Yeah. Are we finally on the tail end of all those MMOs that were in development for 4 or 5 years, and we're trying to hop on that train?
Yeah, I'm trying to think like what other ones are in development right now that resemble kind of traditional role playing games in that sense, like. Now that Elder Scrolls is out.
Yeah, no, that's true. And even
like we posed this question during that quick look, and I
came up with
like one or two things.
I mean, there's, you know, potentially whatever Blizzard is doing,
right? Well, they've already. I mean, they've kept super quiet.
Yeah. And probably trashed like nine
times
or something.
Yeah. I mean, they. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what story blew me away was the freaking Final Fantasy 14 reboot, where they essentially like. Made a game, like, canceled it, out and remade it, and then like gave it, I guess, to people
who had already bought
the then and people said, I haven't played it myself. I had some fond memories of 11, even though it was not the way I would prefer to play my Final Fantasy, but it was cool for what it was. But it sounds like 14 was quite good once they
did the whole thing. I certainly know some people that are into it.
It was just a really insane story to me. Yeah. Like, you don't...
Because, like, as you hear the story, you're like, this will never work. Like, what you're... The thing you're embarking on is just flushing more money down the toilet. Like,
yeah.
Why would you do this?
It's also just so crazy, because it is, like, a new game. So to not even... To actually, like, relaunch it, whatever, you're not even, like, trying to call it a sequel. You're just like, nope, this is what we meant to do the first time.
Yeah.
Sorry about that last one.
You guys ready to stop and eat?
Yeah, showing up here.
We're coming up. Some horrific food nightmares are at hand.
What's the go-to? Do you have a regular?
I mean, I don't eat here often enough to really know, but they serve what is more or less a full Taco Bell menu.
Yeah.
And then also...
I like the quesadillas.
Yeah, and then also hamburgers.
Right.
So...
And some really kind of crappy fries.
Yeah, I would recommend just getting a little bit of everything and just sampling.
Yeah. They don't have a sampler platter, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
They have a cheese board.
This thing is...
Yeah. It looks like it'd be a lot of fun.
That America is strapped to the back of that truck, basically.
Yes.
Is that an Odyssey, or what do they even call that? Because truckers go come through here, you know, agriculture and stuff dictates that big trucks full of onions have to drive through this area on a regular basis.
I mean, you go like 30 miles in either direction. There are towns along this way. It's just they're not very big. Like the Central Valley, you know, like Fresno and Modesto and Merced and all those places. There are people that live there. They're just not off this highway.
I went to a Taco Bell in Modesto. It was pleasant.
Yes, I bet.
This is part of my Mexican fast food.
How did you end up in Modesto?
Just went for a random drive. Ended up in Yosemite and came hit on the way back, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a long, random drive.
Yeah, it was. It was literally flick of a coin what direction we're going in.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, when Jeff and I were in that band together, we played a fair number of shows in, like, Modesto and Merced and all that stuff.
Yep.
Is it UC there?
There is, though we mostly just played at shitty clubs and coffee shops and the pizza place.
Yep.
Rico's Tees and Greens.
Yeah, they had miniature golf and pizza, so yeah, Rico's Tees and Greens was a really great place.
They had miniature golf, they had pizza, and they had ska bands. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
Yeah. Doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah.
Let's
go there.
That was the place I liked. The other places we played.
There was the coffee place that was like right next door to the Kentucky Fried Chicken that had the buffet.
Yeah.
Which was like... really what? Crazy. Yeah. It was like a KFC that had a buffet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you just go in there and just go like, well, I guess I'll have some more mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now let's go make rap music. Oh, God.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who ran that place in Merced, I remember, just the most amazing burnout you've ever seen.
We're playing some barn.
That
around
was in Sonora.
There? Sonora? Okay. Alright.
Yeah, that was in Sonora.
Where we drank too much wild cherry Pepsi and then realized that it has a substance in it that when consumed in quantity has a mild laxative effect.
Oh, no. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Found that out the hard way. Found that out the hard way.
Yes, have you ever seen sorbitol on a can of anything?
Don't drink 70 ounces of it.
Yep.
Like, feel free to have a can of it. It's fine, but...
It's pro tips.
Yeah.
Important things you learn when you play in a barn for 8 people in Sonora.
Run by the guy who runs the local skate shop.
Yep. The embittered guy who runs the local skate shop.
See, I tried not to talk to any people when we went and did this sort of stuff.
All I remember about him was him, like, the second we got in there, he would just start talking, like, yeah, you know, they're always trying to shut us down in this town, whatever, man.
It's punk fucking rock.
Keeping the scene alive.
Yes, absolutely. We are proud to come curse in front of your local children.
Oh my god.
That was in Sonora.
Sonora.
Yeah, Modesto was actually the okay place.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to shut down the stream when we eat, just to give the iPad a chance to cool down.
Oh, yeah. Charge back up a little bit.
Because it will overheat a bit.
So we'll report back on...
Yeah, we'll take some pictures of food and put it on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go. Or Instagram, whatever.
To Hideo Kojima's attention.
Right, yes.
I should do, that's like a good idea for be like an anti-food snob, like Twitter asshole guy. Just take pictures of like fast food, like burgers and stuff. Just no context. Just
tons of filters on this picture of a Big Mac.
Yeah, exactly. Just like lunch, smiley. It's like two cheeseburgers. And that's it. Like a gigantic soda cup.
Some movie on the cup.
Exactly. It's like that's slightly old. It just like that's no longer playing. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's the best. RoboCop. That's really old. I'm trying to think what's the right amount of.
I feel like they have a Lego movie.
The fast food company, that's pretty good. They don't do the big movie production, like co-production stuff the way they used to.
Yeah, they don't. It's true. It's
not like when, fucking in the 90s when like Dick Tracy came out. Yeah. There was nothing but just insane amounts of Dick Tracy merchandise in every McDonald's.
It's because, like, it's partly because, like, fast food itself is, like, so stigmatized now. Like, you can't, especially in the Bay Area, they don't even, whatever, they passed a freaking city ordinance that you can't even put toys in Happy Meals.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. That's San Francisco. Those are the hard-hitting government decisions being made in your town.
Even as a fairly liberal-minded person, that's the kind of shit when people start talking about, like, nanny state bullshit. I'm like, yep,
exactly, right.
There's
like a...
People need the freedom to be dirtbags and fuck up and make mistakes.
Let them poison themselves. It's fine. Another sign, Swinger?
Sweet cherries.
Sweet cherries.
He's
to the left.
Raise the roof. Motion.
We're going this way. We're going in the direction of these sweet cherries.
And he is dressed in a really half-assed cherry costume.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Oh, he is. I just thought that was like a really ill-fitting shirt.
Exactly. That's why it's so half-assed.
So I've been on this road. The last time I was on this road, on this path, there was a dude wearing shorts and no top skateboarding with an electric guitar in his hand.
Are you sure you weren't just having an episode?
Yep.
He was the most badass looking person I've ever seen.
Make a legal U-turn ahead and then right turn onto I-5 South.
I like that they have to put
legal U-turn.
Yeah. Just to cover their asses.
Wavy tube man.
Got cherries? That's what it says. On that building. Mm-hmm.
I think I've eaten at the pea soup Anderson's like once.
Yeah, same, once. And I did not get the pea soup.
Huh.
Because why would anyone eat that?
Pea soup's alright.
Yeah. I would rather middle of a long drive, just what? You could really go for some pea soup right about now.
I'd rather be force-fed the entirety of the Del Taco menu than eat pea soup.
Well, you're in luck.
Yeah, the non-franchise gas stations are good too. Loves.
I mean, it used to be a pilot station or something, right?
I bet Pilot bought, or Loves probably bought Pilot out or something.
Some of the pilots, yeah. I feel like there was some story with some guy, the guy who owns the Pilot chain was in the news for doing something weird.
So let me get this straight. A guy who owns a chain of truck stops did something that was maybe outside the lines of the law.
I'm going to look this up.
that Ed Boon's trailer company?
Is the new MK going to be there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he said there would be two new characters in the build. I assume in addition to some number of existing characters.
Okay, so the guy who owns the Pilot and Flying J stuff is also the owner of the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Oh.
And he apparently did some sort of something illegal recently, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. I knew I wasn't just making this up.
Owned a business in Cleveland. That's all it takes.
They were cheating customers out of something.
All right, we are going to take a break here, you guys, but you can just hang out here, and, you know, when we start back up, it should just start back up, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see you probably about 20 minutes, half an hour or so.